Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do.
No.
Yeah, I do. Anyway, I went to this doctor. Well, he told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because that's why my guys in my car club call me the cruiser.
You should call them the dork.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of a beach.
Son of a beach.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. That means, is Eric here today?
Yes.
Okay. That means Eric is
Eric
in.
Eric was not released yesterday, contrary to some published reports.
But Paul's
might be
here.
Your best soundbite.
Paul's here.
How long have you been hiding that one for us? That's excellent.
I just got it.
That's very good.
Doc's in the booth, and he's actually doing stuff in the booth.
He's cutting a calzone.
Wow. Oh, okay. All right, guys. A lot to get to. Thank goodness this bye is gone, and now we have a game to look forward to. The Miami Dolphins are coming to Gillette Stadium on Sunday, which should be a pretty good game. The Dolphins are playing a lot better than they were beginning of the season.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, I think if you take out 200-yard kick returns, you're not saying the same thing.
Hey, it's all part of the game.
They had 104 yards. 52 passing. You think 52 yards passing is good for a team?
I think they also
ran the ball 52 yards. You think that's good for a team?
They gave Sanchez a hard time.
What?
Defensively. No?
That may have been Sanchez's best game.
Yeah.
When it counted.
They had big plays. Jason Taylor
had
the big play, and they had 200-yard kickoff returns. Take out those big plays, and you're not talking about how they're coming in here playing their best football.
Yeah, but the big plays weren't on Sanchez.
Okay, they went into the Meadowlands and did something the Patriots didn't do, and they won.
I agree.
All right? Mm-hmm. So, going to give them their due.
I agree. I agree with that. I just don't know how well they're playing.
Yeah, Miami is a funny team.
Well, I mean, they started 0-3, and now they're 3-4. So
right, and by that, you know, you're right, Fred. You know, they have won some games. And obviously, that's the ultimate thing that you're judged on is your record. I would argue that they're not playing as well right now as they were in week two against Indianapolis.
Like,
do you think
they played better in victory this week or in defeat to the Colts? Because I said to Paul, they're now even because they lost a game they should have won to Indy, and then they won a game this week that I think they should have lost.
You're looking at stats, but what they're doing over the last four games.
Yeah, when you run the ball well and control the ball for 45 minutes, I think you should win.
They're finding ways to win based on who they are. They're not a team that is better than most teams they go on the field against. But figuring out.
I don't think they're all that good.
No. See, I think they're a better team than they were last year, talent-wise. But the problem is, number one, they're playing a much more difficult schedule than they played last year. We all know the AFC East
and
played
the quarterback.
Very soft schedules. The quarterback has been a problem, losing your starting quarterback, obviously. But I think they played half of a game against New Orleans, and then they completely self-destructed. I don't think that they're good enough right now on either side of the ball. I don't think they played in a style on Sunday that was allowed them to win. I think they were fortunate to win with big plays.
Well,
I don't think they would have won the game had had they not had all those.
I'm just trying to be objective, Fred, and giving them their due. But, you know.
You're never objective. I just think it's funny that you threw, like, one little phrase out there, and we got into a fight immediately off the bat. It's great.
It's unbelievable.
It's the beauty of this show.
All right. Well, anyway, I think it's going to be an interesting game. It could go any way. I think Patriots should and will be favored.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what, it should be about 10. Yeah,
it'll be the biggest spread of the week.
I was going to say 10 points.
It's a little bit above that, if I remember. I saw it somewhere.
Okay.
It's just above 10.
All right. So, you know, the question is,
above 10?
You know, what did the Patriots do with this bye? Is it something that kind of killed their momentum, or will they be able to carry the momentum of the last two games into this week? Patriots have, over the last two games, outscored opponents like 90-7 or something
94
like that.
94-7, I believe
94-7. But they were two miserable teams, terrible teams.
I don't know. Titans are now winning games.
Well, yeah. So
I'm going to judge that one in 2 months from now.
There you go.
They killed the Titans, and the Titans might end up a 500. Can they end up 500? Yeah, they can, right?
They could.
Well, I think if they do better, obviously that was the game where they had to come to Jesus and Vince
Get
Young.
Rid of Kerry Cohen.
Right, exactly. Anyway, I don't want to relive 59-0 from 3 weeks ago. I want to look forward.
Yeah, why? It was so much fun.
I want to look ahead. Yeah. Word is out today, Tom E. Curran of the, where's he with now?
Comcast.
He's with Comcast.
Comcast Sportsnet.
He broke news that Jarvis Green had knee surgery and may not be back for 3 weeks or so. So it must have been some type of meniscus cleaning out type of surgery. I don't know. You know, mucus.
Arthroscopic is probably the word.
It wasn't a major.
No, because we just saw him walk through the locker room.
Right. But he is going to be out for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And so the question is, what is that going to do? How does the team affect it? He hasn't been a guy that's made a lot of plays this year.
But he has played.
But he has played. Does this mean Ron Brace sees some action? You know, we'll talk about that.
You'd have to think so.
We'll also talk about some interesting things that I thought, again, Mike Reese doing the little extra mile, took something that Brady said on Monday on EEI, and extrapolated from that and did some nice little research that I want to talk about that I thought was revealing about where the Patriots went wrong with Joey Galloway and what they've had to do once they realize that this ain't going to work out. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the other games around the NFL that happened, you know, because this is a good week for us. We didn't have a game, so we could, even though I was at a lacrosse tournament all Sunday, I couldn't watch the games. I was following games, and I thought it was interesting, some of the things that happened, particularly what's going on in New York with the Giants. That's unbelievable, what's going on over there.
How about what's going on in Cleveland?
Well, Cleveland has gotten from bad to worse, but, you know, the Giants were 5-0 at one time.
I'm excited to be a head coach.
Now, all of a sudden, they're 5-3, and Eli's having a hard
– what? Aren't they 4-3?
I thought they were 5-4-3. You might be right. I thought it was 5-3. Maybe Doc can check that out.
All I know from that game,
obviously,
Fred,
the point is dead on anyway, regardless. But
every game I get to see Asante Samuel, he's running down the sideline with the ball in his hands towards the end zone.
He is. I still say he remains one of the three best playmaking cornerbacks in football. I don't really understand. You know,
all he had to do was make one play for us.
The vitriol. And,
you know,
I don't really understand it. But
how come his one play gets singled out?
Where's the vitriol? Who is saying that he stinks or hates?
What you just said.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a fact.
But why don't we pick and choose every other player?
So wait a minute. Ask me if I'd like to have Asante Samuel, and the answer is yes. So where's the vitriol?
Okay. Well, other members of the organization have used similar. Other members of the organization have used similar comments on the radio, and I don't really understand it. You know, we had a lot of guys that had a lot of chances to make plays in that last drive, and none of them did. Some of those guys are still here. Some of them aren't.
Yeah.
Richard Seymour's not here anymore. He had a chance. Asante Samuel's not here anymore. He had a chance.
He did some things.
Rodney Harrison's not here anymore. He had a chance. Brandon Merriweather's is here, and he had the ball, the best chance out of all of them, because the ball hit him between the 3 and the 1.
But, you know, as far as his ability, I don't think anyone's knocking Asante Samuel's ability.
Well, I think a
lot of people have alluded to he's not worth the money that he's getting paid. I agree with Paul. Every time I see him play, he's one of the best corners in football. So he's worth the money. He's not Deion Branch, who didn't live up to that contract.
I'm a little biased. I liked him a lot. I had a that
it's not bias when you see a guy.
No, I'm saying I'll
step
admitting
in front of a receiver and everybody's raving about the hard work, the film review, why he's making plays.
I'm just saying for myself personally, I'm admitting I'm biased because I did like the guy a lot. I had a decent relationship with him. Had that one day that was absolutely surreal when he's like talking to me like I was his long lost brother. But I just think even if you take all that personal stuff out of it, just go by your eyes. He's a good player.
He is a good player.
He's a great player.
He's very selfish, but he's a very good player.
How is he selfish? Where exactly is that?
I'll tell you. On the day of the day before the Super Bowl, when they're doing their team pictures, instead of thinking about the game that's going to come up the next day and the chance to have an undefeated season and being with his teammates, and maybe this is the last game he plays with his teammates, he's prancing around going, look at the free agent class of 2007.
So what was he thinking?
He's thinking about next year.
You said he wasn't thinking about the game, so how do you know what he was thinking about?
Because he was saying, look at the free agent class of 2007.
And despite that, I happen to know, and I've told you this before, that the head coach wanted him back. I know for
because
a fact the head coach
player.
Wanted him back.
Of course they
will. Well, I don't think he would want a selfish guy back.
He's still selfish.
I don't think he would want a selfish guy back.
I never said that.
Yeah, so you want to make him Saint Asante?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Great guy because he talked to you. That's what the media does. As soon as somebody talks to them, call him by the first name, he's a great guy.
I'm not sure he ever called me by my first name, but that's neither here nor
there. You know, this is.
I'm not sure he knows your first name.
If all the players.
You know, blow that theory up.
Right.
There's probably no guy in that locker room over the last 10 years I've disliked more than the one guy who probably called me by my first name more than any other in that locker room.
What's
over that time.
He's not here. Who are we talking about?
It's not Rodney. He's not here anymore.
Who are we talking about? He's telling a lot of stories without naming names today.
I know.
Teddy Bruschi.
It's like reading that Naked Tales from the City.
Teddy Bruschi called me by my first name every single time he saw me.
Yeah, but it was always preceded by that effing Paul.
No, Teddy Bruschi, Arizona.
Fat Paul.
But I'm not just talking about you, but if these players realize how easy it is to get media
absolutely.
People eating out of their hands, you know, I know they have that class, you know, where they kind of teach them how to deal with the media, but there should be another class that is really how to deal with the media, you know, and that should be taught by Paul. You could teach that class, right?
Brian Morey.
They'd all be fighting the media. There'd be fist fights.
No, they'd
in
be
the
fighting
room.
Him.
You're so full of it.
They'd spend 5 minutes with him and want to fight him.
Yeah,
no, I think you're right, though, Fred. They don't have any idea how easy it would be to manipulate us.
Right.
Much more, I don't know, effectively than they probably right. do already.
All right. Well, anyway, let's see. We've had three arguments in
15
in
minutes.
Yeah, this
minutes.
Is pretty good for us. I got to tell you.
By the way, the Giants are 5-3.
So. They are 5-3.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they played 8 games.
I have a little thing I want to throw out there, Freddie.
Go ahead.
That's
we've
what
been
she
talking.
Said.
Toss away.
We've been talking about the measuring stick for the Patriots the next month, and the Colts and the Saints, the defense, everything. I'm going to kind of boil it down a step further because we put Brandon Merriweather on our cover for the bye week this week. Rodney Harrison says he's the MVP, one of the best safeties in the AFC. All that. I think for him. This is a big stretch here going against these offenses because against a high-powered offense, free safeties are kind of put in the spotlight. And the weak opponents, he's had some success against some pretty bad opponents, making plays against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, making plays against Seneca Wallace and the Seahawks last year. If he's really legit, now he makes plays, you know, in a Super Bowl or, in this case, in a key game for the rest of your season, the Saints and the Colts. And I'll be willing to, you know, interested to see what he does. Because I think those offenses, if he's missing tackles, if he's a step out of position, he'll get exploited like maybe he couldn't be by Josh Johnson or Kerry Collins in the snow or whatever. So I think on a personal level, huge stretch right here for Brandon Merriweather. Is he MVP like Rodney Harrison says, or did he have a nice stretch and he's an okay player and blah, blah, blah? I think this is make or break.
I agree. I think for the defense as a whole, this is it. You can say everything you want up until now. Wow, they played well enough. They're better than we thought they are. A lot of their statistics have improved in key areas from last year. But this is it.
But
this,
nobody believes they are great. There's no one. There's no one that thinks.
Not yet.
Mike Wright and these guys are the foundation of it. Maybe in the secondary. Maybe Darius Butler. But Merriweather is a first-round pick.
Yep.
He could be the foundation. He could be your Rodney Harrison or whatever of the secondary for 10 years.
Right.
But we might get a little peek into who he is long term in these tough games more so than in, you know, the low-level games
they played. And we'll have to be careful, too, you know, because...
Well, I won't. I mean, if he has great games against the Colts and the Saints, then I'll be willing to say he's made another jump. He's taking it to another level.
I was going to say the opposite. We'll have to be careful in the criticism if, you know, if Peyton Manning has 350 yards and three TDs, you know, to understand that, you know, one guy can't do it all. We don't know.
Right.
You know.
But if he is, if he bounces off Jeremy Shockey and Shockey goes for a touchdown, then I'll say... Yeah, it was nice against the also-Rans in Tampa, but when you face elite talent, some of your weaknesses get exposed.
Yeah, sure. And I agree. I think you're both making good points. And, Fred, I think to your point, you're right. Just because, you know, and I'm not trying to set people up for saying things are going to go terribly wrong, because I don't think they will in Indy and New Orleans. But those kinds of days that you just described, that's what happens. That's what, when those guys, it's just like when Tom Brady goes out there and throws for 350, and three touchdowns, I wouldn't necessarily say, yeah, but the other team's secondary is terrible.
Right.
No, sometimes it is, but it's not. I've seen Tom Brady do that to good secondaries and bad.
Right.
And just like I've seen Peyton Manning and Drew Brees do it this year to good teams and bad teams, I don't think it would necessarily mark the end of the world if things don't go really, really well for the secondary in Indy.
I'm looking for red zone. You know, how do they do in the red zone? How do they do on third down? You know, a guy like Manning.
Third down is big for me.
A guy like Manning and Brees, they're going to connect downfield. You know, they're going to have a few plays every game, regardless of how well you're playing, where they just connect it because they're that good. You know, but what happens when the field shortens up? What happens in crunch time? What happens at the end of the first half if the Colts have the ball? You don't want them to go off the field having scored. Can you stop them? Can you get off the field? You know, I'm assuming the Colts are going to score points. You know, and the Saints are going to score some points, and more than that, have yardage. You know, but, you know, what do you do in those key situations? So we'll see. We'll see. But this is
third down is going to be big because both of those teams have converted at a pretty high level on third down. And if you can't win that down, you're not going to win a lot of games. And that's been a big key for them lately.
I was a little surprised. Do you know who is the most successful quarterback this year on third down conversion? What do you think?
I heard this somewhere.
Yeah, it was on TV on Sunday.
Is that where I saw it?
Yeah.
I forgot already.
Miami has a very good third down percentage, but it's not because of the quarterback. It's because they run the ball.
It's not them. This is just, they were flashing up the top three quarterbacks.
I don't know. Who is it?
Aaron Rodgers from Green Bay is number one.
I did
one.
See that. That's right.
So, just thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Well, was that completion percentage? Or what
68%
was it,
conversion rate.
And that was where? In the red zone or third
down? No, on third down, yeah.
Yeah, he also has the highest third down passer rating.
Yeah.
On third down plays.
Yeah, it's like 140,
I wanted to say.
No, 140.
I thought it was 140.
I like Aaron Rodgers. I think he has some ability. And he's not the same kind of quarterback. But I think there's a lot of Bledsoe in Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he holds on to the ball.
I think he plays really well.
Yep.
For the most part, he doesn't cost you. I mean, he plays well. He puts up yards.
I see that.
He moves the ball. He gets some points. But ultimately, he doesn't win as much as he should.
Yeah.
And I think there's some Bledsoe there. Now, it's not the same style. Rodgers is much more athletic, moves around pretty well. Bledsoe obviously never, even as a young guy, never could move. I think there's a parallel there.
Yeah.
And it hurts me to say because, as you know, I have my affections for Drew, but
sure.
I don't think he won as much as he should have.
You were horrible.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And right now on the phone, John in Dallas. John, how you doing? John in Dallas. Doc, where is he? No?
In Dallas.
All right, well, John, if you want to call back, I don't know what happened to you.
Did you even leave him on the hold that long?
I didn't do anything.
But, Freddie, we're getting ahead of ourselves, huh?
What's that?
He was there earlier. He's gone. Clearly gone now.
All right.
And he's calling back. I hear the phone ringing. Getting ahead of ourselves, though, with this Colts and Saints talk. We got the budding juggernaut that is the Miami Dolphins on the horizon first, right?
Yeah.
Because you're really fearing them.
I just think that they play teams tough, and particularly teams that they know. And, you know, they can give us trouble.
I thought Bill used an interesting phrase yesterday on EEI talking about the Wildcat. A lot of Wildcat talk in his conference call earlier in the day and how it changes every week and the permutations, whatever. But he said, you still have to waste a lot of time on it.
Well, that's it.
Like, it was very, I thought he was a we've read all these wing T stories and spread offense and Tim Tebow and all this. I thought he was kind of a fan of it. But to me, he said it just like with disdain. You have to waste practice time on preparing for the Wildcat. Like, he hates it.
Yeah.
No, I said that, Andy.
I thought that was kind of interesting because I thought he was a fan of it. I thought it was old school football. I thought it was like harking back to his dad and just the heart of football. And now he says they're wasting time preparing for it.
Well, you know, it's crazy because you see some teams have such trouble with it, but then other teams just stop it. And I think if you just, you know, discipline and, you know, when you see that guy line up and it's not the quarterback, you can't take chances. You have to, you know, just stay your lane.
Well, the new thing is taking chances. Everybody's sending pressure off the edge, blitzing corners and sending guys off the edge to meet it in the backfield, essentially. And even Bill referenced that. The team's been doing that a lot lately. So I would expect the Patriots at least to try it to see how that works out.
Yeah,
because you're right. The old school option was read. Everybody, you know, discipline. Who's got pitch? Who's got the fullback? Everything was discipline. Now the way teams have stopped it lately is aggressive. Going basically blitzing the Wildcat, a run blitz on the Wildcat to meet it in the backfield.
Yeah, I think it's I think you're right. It's a combination of the two. But you've even seen teams struggle with it one time and then shut it down the next, like the Jets. The Jets got torched by it in Miami on the Monday night game, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and completely shut it down on Sunday. So it was like night and day, much like the Patriots last year. When the Patriots got hurt by it in week three and then completely shut it down.
Or like the Patriots in Denver where they kind of gave up some plays to it, called a timeout, kind of got their ducks in a row.
It's more of a preparation kind of thing. I think if you're where you're supposed to be, I think what Miami has been able to do is formation into things that you don't want to be in. And that's when they have had their success. Now, obviously, everybody knows Miami's going to use it now. They use it every game. They've used it every single game since that week three game here last year. So I think Andy's right. I think if you're ready for it and you have your assignments down, whether you choose to do it with aggression and come off the edge and get in the backfield with penetration, or if, like Fred said, you're kind of being disciplined in reading and reacting, I think as long as you're prepared for it, either way, if it's going to come down to the better man wins.
I mean, that's
execution.
What I was going to say. I don't want to sound like Bill, but
the better guy's going to win.
The plays I saw in some of the plays early Sunday that didn't go well for the Dolphins, they missed blocks. They didn't execute it. I think they would have had pause. There was one where, no offense, but the fullback pulled a Paul Perillo and looked like he wanted no part of blocking the guy who was coming off the edge.
Why is that a Paul
Perillo?
Shied
away. Well, you know that picture of you playing safety in your Everett High yearbook where you're shying away from contact?
I was laying in the wood. The guy got fined for that hit.
Yeah, by your coach.
I got fined.
It gets down to execution.
Fine.
Like,
yeah.
And they always say that.
I think it does.
The guy who's at Georgia Tech now, the more you do it, the better you become at it, the harder it is to defend because you're better at it.
Right.
It's it's the execution of it that is the key.
Hats on hats.
The one thing I didn't like about that, you know, there's a lot of people, and it kind of annoys me even now, Ron Jaworski's one of them. A lot of the, you know, they call it like a gadget gimmick kind of offense. I think nothing could be further from the truth. It really is sending offense back 50 years to when that's all
sending
everybody
or
did.
Setting.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's just
no, but I mean, your tone would sending it back is you're paying homage to the early days, or are we turning back the clock 50 years and ruining the sport?
My point is just that it's a very unsophisticated.
Oh no, it's the base of football
offense. It's the real fundamentals of blocking, running, and tackling.
Should we go back to the forearms for the blocking?
That's all it is, and people, you know, they like to make it out to be this gadget. It's not; they're not tricking anybody.
No.
When they put an extra offensive lineman in the game, like the Jets actually did it back to them. It wasn't a wildcat because they didn't have a different guy at quarterback. But you see some of those formations the Jets came out with the two guys that came in. They actually had 9 offensive linemen, Andy. I don't know if you watched any of the game.
Nope.
They had the regular set, and they had 4 tight ends in the game. You know, 2 of them were backup offensive linemen, and 2 of them were actually tight ends. They had 9 offensive linemen. That's just power football. I'm going to block you.
Right.
You know I'm running it. You
love
can't
it.
Stop me.
Love it.
Student body
there's
left.
There's nothing,
wishbone. Bring back the wishbone.
But there's no trickery involved in that. And that's what everybody likes to say. Well, it's just a gimmick. It's a fad. It's going to go away. Well, not unless the fundamentals of football someday are going to be irrelevant.
Right.
Because that's all it is.
It's still 11 men. No matter how you shake it, it's 11 guys.
And they're blocking you. You have to get off the block and make the tackle. What does Bill say? The number he oversimplifies everything. What's the number one rule of defensive football? Bill says it all the time in press conferences. Get the guy with the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
Right? That's all it is.
Yeah. All right, webradiopatriots.com, 508-543-7482. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, John in Dallas is on the phone.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, not tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football shaped serving trays.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
PFW in progress on Patriots.com with Jake Steele, portly Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy the Idiot Hart. Online and out of bounds at Patriots.com.
So, where is Eric? Why isn't he here?
It's the bye week, after all.
No, but seriously, what is he doing?
I don't know. It's the bye week, practice. After all.
Oh, he's got practice?
Practice.
All right. Couple personnel moves by the Patriots. They have signed tight end Rob Myers to the practice squad. Myers, he was with the Jets. So, getting a little info, maybe.
When?
He originally signed with the Jets as a rookie free agent out of Utah State, April 2009. He was waived by the Jets prior to the start of training camp. All right, so he didn't.
Yeah, he was
much.
With the Eagles.
And then he signed with the Eagles in August. Spent 2 weeks with the Eagles on their practice squad, and then were waived by them. And also, they placed Robbie Agnone, who was on the practice squad, on the injured list. So,
which injured list?
Practice squad slash injured list.
I never heard of that one before.
That's a new one. We had a guy on that last year. I forget who it was. there was a guy that's on the practice squad right now that I had to ask you if he was on our practice squad.
So Mike Reese had a story about trying out some tight ends. Now we know why, because Agnone was going to be put on that list. And also they worked out a couple running backs.
Yep.
And we're thinking, you know, we're trying to read into that. Obviously, they're covering bases, but it could also mean either Fred Taylor or Sammy Morris's injury might be a little bit longer than they had thought. Paul thinks it might be Morris. I don't know.
Well, the only reason why I say that is because Taylor, I think, was thought to be at the end of the year anyway. I mean, I don't think anybody expects to see Taylor before December.
Oh,
am I wrong
no.
on that? Based
That's
on everything I read anyway.
Yeah.
But Morris, I haven't seen any sort of timetable on him at all. Nor will you see one officially from the team, but
right.
I haven't even seen anybody in the media sort of use their sources to come up with any kind of a timetable. Maybe they thought he was a week or two, and maybe now it looks like it's more like a month or something. Yeah,
right.
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Right.
Andy's right. You know, off the air, Andy said that, you know, you're just covering your bases and making sure you have guys, guys at the ready.
Yep. I mean, it's just kind of obvious. You went from 5 to 3, and one of those three is Lawrence Maroney, who at any point could be
right.
banged up because he
Maurice Morris is one of the running backs that was in. I don't know what he's doing now. I don't know where his career stands, but he is an NFL running back. I mean,
right.
he's
with Seattle for a long time.
Yeah, he spent he spent a significant amount of time in the NFL. So it's not just guys like Rob Myers who the Patriots are sort
Looks
of looking
like he's
into.
From American Idol.
I thought he was Mark Megna. Looked like Mark Megan. Remember him?
Yeah.
Me,
way
looks
back
like
in
an
the
American
day.
Idol finalist. I don't know which one, but he's got a weird haircut.
Okay.
Blonde.
John in Dallas is on band-ish. The phone. John, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. How are you?
Good. What happened to you first time? I went to you. You were gone.
Yeah, I know. I called in, and usually when they put me on hold, I can hear you guys speaking. And when I was put on hold, I couldn't hear anything, so I figured that you guys had disconnected me. You know?
So Doc screwed it up again, basically.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to point the finger at Doc.
Well,
I will.
He had a good drop in, so he's done for the
I'll
day.
Use this one to point it at.
Uh-oh. He just gave him the middle finger. All right, John, so what's up?
Well, I don't know. Talking about the Pats D, I was looking at some of the stats today, and they're ranked pretty high across a lot of the different categories, but I kind of wonder if those statistics are inflated given the Tennessee and the Bucs game.
Of course they are.
Yep.
So if you back
especially
those
the Tennessee
out
game.
And you use the Broncos game as the barometer, because I think – if you look at the opponents they face this year, the Broncos seem to have the more of a, I would say, a first tier offense. If you want to compare, maybe.
Well, I think they play better offenses in Baltimore and in Atlanta than they did against Denver. But I think your point about Tennessee is very accurate. And Andy asked Belichick about that last week, and Bill admitted that he was right. You kind of have to throw that Tennessee game out the window because of a whole host of factors, but. Not the least of which was the lopsided nature of the game and the weather and, the poor performance,
But I think you do that every year.
Sure.
Looking back to last year, I did in the story, San Diego was a ridiculous game for the secondary to be bad. And the Miami game was a ridiculous game for your run defense to be bad. They got embarrassed. They were caught off guard. So I think, 7 weeks into the season is still a relatively small sampling, but it's also enough so where you have – in
sure.
both directions,
kind of
the app, which is why most of the time they take out
the best and the worst.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's a smart way to
do it. I think that shows
up
in those numbers, though. It's kind of
I think
included.
That's a smart way to do it, but I think there's a difference between an NFL game where you allowed, for a game, negative yardage passing. I mean, that really skews your numbers. You have a good game in the NFL on pass defense, you allow 145
right,
yards.
Right,
not negative
under
7 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, that really
just
kind of threw the numbers
off.
Playing
well with 52.
So yeah, I understand that we have a small sampling, but if you want to get a really, I guess, a true sense for what the Patriots defense is capable of, but what they have been about to date, I mean, you got to back out some of those really crappy games, the zero win teams. So
well,
if you did that,
well, that's who you're playing.
Yeah,
I mean,
but you don't.
I don't take
one.
The Tampa Bay game out.
Exactly. You know, after a while, it becomes a trend. So you do it once, but you don't do it twice. You don't back out two games.
It's just like Atlanta is scoring. That's probably the worst offensive game Atlanta's had all year.
Right.
I mean, I think that was an impressive performance by the Patriots defense. I wouldn't necessarily. I think the Tennessee one you can throw out only because it was so outrageous.
Yeah.
The lopsided nature of the game. But Tampa Bay. Yeah, they're winless, but you play winless teams and you play undefeated teams.
Right.
They you balance each other out. I'm encouraged by the defense, and you know, you guys started the whole show by saying that. I'm encouraged by the secondary in particular.
This is what, you know, again, I'm sure that I'm not 100% accurate, but last year I just didn't
see. I'm 100% sure of that.
Why don't you just shut them?
Oh, Spider.
I didn't see guys last year with pass defense. I don't, you know, getting a hand
around
on
the
ball, you know.
We argued Ellis Hobbs
down
for years.
Passes.
Just be around the ball.
I see that happening this year.
Yep.
To me, that's a huge step.
I agree.
When you're actually, you know, defending a pass and knocking it down, getting a hand there, breaking up
passes.
They're
showing up for the fight.
Yeah.
Last year we didn't always show up for the fight.
That's a huge jump.
The pass rush is worse than it was last year.
Yeah.
But to me, it's looked a little better because you've had effort guys.
Yeah.
You've had guys around the quarterback. He steps, whatever. I just feel like
right.
Mike Wrights and Tully Banta-Kanes are never going to be great. But they've been trying. They've been close.
Yep.
I think we have a better secondary this year, too.
Well, there's no question that plays into it. No question.
Yeah.
Here's another question for you guys. If you took the Pats defense this year, how they match up against the Wildcat, to me they would match up better against the Wildcat. There's more speed. There's a lot of youth, but I mean there's a lot more speed.
Yeah, I mean when you take Guyton and you know Mayo was there last year, but you know Guyton is a step up from Brewski in terms of speed. There's no doubt about that. Vrabel wasn't the fastest guy. Now you've got Banta-Kane, who's faster. There is probably more speed on the field.
I don't think there's any question there's more speed. The question I would have, and I don't know because, you know, I'm not Bill Belichick. I'm not a football doctor here. But is speed make it better for you to defend the Wildcat? I don't know.
Yeah.
Personally, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. I think you would probably want more brawn.
Well, see, I think they're better because of one guy, and that's Brandon McGowan. Because I think they basically have eight guys in the box at all times. Whether it's 3-4 or 4-3, he's always
– So you need more
He's personnel. A linebacker, and I think that makes – he's a key part to how they'll defend the Wildcat. I think they're better suited for it because
their one foray into defending the Wildcat this year did not go really well.
Didn't go well at first, no, not at all.
They got caught with their pants down.
Yeah, and that seems to be the trend is once you figure it out, you do all right, but teams get caught off guard.
I'm not so sure about that because Rex
Miami's
Ryan and Bart
everybody.
Scott were the Wildcat killers, and they had the whole plan, and they got embarrassed in New York.
Yeah.
And then they came back.
They came back the second time.
But it wasn't their first time. By the way, Bart Scott is now on top of my list of
haters.
Of course he is.
But you didn't hear what he said after the game?
I did.
About Miami, they were going to win the Super Bowl. They're the best team. They're great.
They got the best quarterback. They're great. The best tight end. They're great. And then somebody says, "Are you being sarcastic?" He goes, "No, I'm serious. They're the best. They're going to the Super Bowl."
Yeah,
what a jerk!
Hey, what is it
about coming out of
Here's
Pittsburgh or Baltimore that if you lose, you never really lost? You know what?
Did you include New England in there?
No. I don't personally.
We don't
care.
Say those things.
Like I said, when they yapped like that and won, I didn't care about it.
Right.
When they yap like that and lose, I still don't care about it.
I do.
I don't understand
it
why.
It entertains me both times.
I find enormous entertainment value out of Rex Ryan. Matter of fact, more so when they lose.
I think
it was even funnier the other day.
Bart Scott started babbling.
He said things the other day that I could actually feel Bill Belichick cringing as he was saying them. Because I was thinking to myself, can you imagine what Bill's thinking right now, watching a guy who just lost a game say how much they dominated the game?
Yeah.
Bill must have wanted to throw up in his mouth if he heard those comments.
I have no idea.
You know he has no respect for Rex Ryan. I mean, let's face it. You know he doesn't. He's not going to say that, but I'm going to say it for him.
Right.
You know he doesn't. Right. He doesn't care for the way he goes about his business.
Bart Scott hurting people. He's just, you know, wrong mentality.
He entertains
He's going to get it.
I find it entertaining. I wish more guys did that, but, you know, what are you going to do? It's supposed to be fun.
So, hey, before I leave you guys, another question for you.
Sure.
So, I think you were talking about the Pats were like plus 10 in this game or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're 10, either 9.5 or 10.5 favorites.
It's kind of interesting because, like, if you look back, I mean, Brady... I don't know if his if it's against Miami, he's historically performed the worst.
Yeah, you're right.
An 80 quarterback rating or something?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but he has had more struggling games against Miami, certainly than the other two teams in the division. But, yeah, you're right.
So given that, this will be the first time the Pats face Miami this season, right?
Mm-hmm.
All these different things. I don't understand how you can have the Pats at plus 10. I mean, I think they're going to win the game, but I mean, going into the game, I don't get that based on.
Oh, really?
Well, the Patriots are playing well. The Dolphins aren't.
Oh, I think that's an easy spread.
Pretty well.
The Dolphins have won 3 out of 4. Andy's like, yeah, the Dolphins aren't.
I'm with Rex Ryan. The Jets dominated. They just didn't win.
No, I figured, you know, John, even without looking at the paper, I figured it'd be about a 10-point spread. I mean, that's just the way.
I think the Patriots are just that much better than Miami.
Yeah.
With that rookie secondary, the rookie corners.
Well, that's why I throw out the history. It's a different Dolphins team.
Yeah, I mean, I might feel a little bit differently if the game were down there at time of year where it would be hot and coming out of the cold weather.
Different.
And the spread would be different. But I understand what your point is. Miami's coming on a little bit, and I think Miami's one of those teams that they make things tough. They're tough to play. They're not going to give you a lot. And they're not overly talented. They're not as talented as the Patriots, but they make you work to beat them.
Yep. All right, John. Thanks for calling in. Hey,
good stuff.
A lot of emailers writing in. Connor from Dublin, a few others, about Chris Chambers. Do you think the Patriots would have any interest? He was released this week. Played with Wes Welker.
Immensely.
Didn't he play with Wes Welker in Miami?
He might have.
Oh, yeah,
he probably did. Immensely
Paul,
talented
guy. Tell
me
why he's been a bit of an enigma.
All right, I'll give you – this is the totally wild, baseless radio only. You could never write this or you'd lose your job. But in radio, you can say anything you want. Evidently, it just floats off into cyberspace.
Certainly in PFW in progress.
But, Fred,
yes.
He's an incredibly talented guy. Wouldn't you agree,
Chris
Chambers?
He definitely hurt the Patriots when we played him.
But, I mean, he's hurt other teams, too.
Yeah.
It's not like he only
physically
plays well.
Physically as gifted as
yeah.
physically gifted
strong,
guy.
Makes those catches with one hand that
has,
wow you.
But he has one year where he has 85 catches for 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns, and the next year he catches 30 balls for, 500 yards and two. I mean, there's wild fluctuations in his performance. You know what I think?
What?
I think he's got a substance abuse problem.
Could be.
Which
I think
one?
He's an alcoholic.
Well, okay.
How's that?
Paul is zeroed in from afar.
Well, because I figure if it was drugs, he gets tested. I assume that he would fail once in a while.
Maybe I just drink. Yeah, you would drunk. Assume that, wouldn't
he? Might have some off-field things that
I think,
from,
listen, it's totally baseless. It's reckless. It's irresponsible. I think there's I think there's got to be something, something going on there because his performance fluctuates too dramatically.
Yeah.
I'd be stunned if they claim him. He's physically gifted, so if he makes it through waivers – with the lack of depth here, why not?
Do you think someone will claim him? The Patriots
no.
kind of can't claim him. I think it's probably too much money for them to claim.
I don't think anybody will claim
him. But if he makes it through waivers, then you can jump on him.
You know, the talk is Miami or Baltimore, I saw, were linked. And I guess that's...
Make a lot of sense to Miami. They have the worst set of wide receivers. They have to have the worst set of wide receivers in the league.
But did they maintain some system? I mean, are people making a link there that he would be able to go back in?
I don't think that's
because I'm assuming
similarity.
That's the link to Baltimore with Cam Cameron, that there would be some... A quick conversion maybe there because of his experience in Cam Cameron's system from a couple of years ago. But he's the one who traded him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they traded him.
I don't see how either of those teams would risk $2.5 million at this point.
No, but don't you just wait till he clears waivers and then go from there?
Oh, then I think anybody could sign him. But what I saw, maybe potential claims.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of money for a claim. But you're right, Cam
When's
Cameron,
that
24 he has the
system. Hour period over?
4.
4 o'clock today?
Yeah, but I think the Patriots would be interested in that.
Yeah.
I certainly would.
Andy and I both jumped on it yesterday
when
we found out.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the big questions after this bye is that whole receiver, which we need to talk about a little bit.
I wanted you to talk about the Mike Reese thing that you sort
right.
of teased
well,
and
I
never
just,
got to.
I was just
gonna, I'm not familiar
this
with
This was a good segue into it because it had to do
How
with
he
the
scouts
offensive
like
receivers.
No one else does?
Oh. Well, why do you got to start?
Web radio.
You're contentious today.
Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Brady is on EEI, as he is every Monday, and he was talking about, where they thought the offense was going to be at the beginning of the season and where it is now and what they realize who they are. And that process, he didn't, without saying it, obviously they thought that Joey Galloway was going to be a bigger part of the offense. He said, back in 07, we had – receivers that could do a lot of different things. They were interchangeable. They could move around. We did a lot of different things. We're finding that's not the case this year. We kind of run a certain thing in that's what we have to do with the certain guys. And he was obviously talking about Galloway, without saying it. And so, Reese took that and he looked at where they started as far as how many drop back passes they had versus runs and where they are the last few weeks. And it's been a dramatic change where, now they're running the ball a lot more. you know, it's a lot more evenly distributed. And it just shows the mind shift that they had in the beginning of the season to where they know they are right now and what they have to do. And I think that, you know, people have said, well, you know, you have to run the ball. And I think that they're agreeing with it, basically, is that they need to establish a running game because that's how the pass is going to work this year, is off of play action. And if you don't establish that running game, you know, it's not going to work. Whereas in 07, it didn't matter. You know, it didn't matter if they ran the ball at all. They were going to complete passes no matter where, because the receivers could just do so many different things. Defenders couldn't lock in on them, you know?
But don't you think this, and Doc just handed us the paper and I skimmed it, don't you think part of the balance is the receivers? You have two guys.
Well, that's it.
That's what he said.
But I don't even
says.
Get beyond versatility and diversity of offense in any way.
Well, but I think
flat out fact, but we can't risk.
No, but they know that now. But the point is, at the beginning of season, they thought
they tried to do that, and then they realized after a couple weeks they couldn't do it.
Can't do it.
Right.
I think this is basically, you know, I think Brady's flat out saying it. He said, all those guys were very versatile in 07. They were able to play different positions, and we moved them around. But we realized that's not the kind of team I think we tried to do some of those things early, but realized that's not the kind of team we're going to be. I don't think there's any real extrapolation. I think he's saying it.
Yeah.
I mean, Brady's flat out saying that we tried to do that, realized we couldn't, and we had to go to plan B. I also think that some of this is overrated, because I think that they're going to do what they think is best every week. And Bill might come out.
No, that's true.
Bill might come out this week and say, you know what? The best thing for us to do is throw it 55 times. Now,
and it gets
saying,
back to
I'm
that seven-game sampling.
Right.
If you take a trend over two games in seven as opposed to 16, there's a difference there.
Sure.
I think Paul's right. If you go over any span in the history, you're going to see where they did certain things for a week or two.
Right.
And then
it evens out.
Opposition right. dictated something else.
Right. But I think we all make the same mistake. We've been making it over and over again, trying to compare anything to 2007.
Yep.
Because that was such an odd year. That just doesn't happen. You know, they broke records in that game. That was in that year. That was an anomaly. You know, it's really a mistake.
But you can compare the personnel. The fact that they had Stallworth and Galloway.
Right.
And there was no reason to think
Stallworth
that.
And Gaffney, starting caliber NFL receivers as their three and four versus a special teamer and a rookie quarterback.
But the stars
There was
were,
no reason to think that
I don't
Galloway
care what you want
wasn't
going to
be the same guy as Stallworth.
Well,
I mean, Galloway's a better player than Stallworth.
Just, over his career,
just,
he has
just
been.
Not in New England.
Yeah, just not in New England. That's the X factor, you know, because you're dealing with human beings and all that stuff.
Exactly.
You just, you know, you can't.
You just never know.
Yeah,
you're
07
right.
was so special. And again, why in the debate you should take the winning the Super Bowl instead of 10 years of Brady. But anyway.
That's funny. I'm enjoying going into a Colts game knowing that the season is we're competing for our number one seed in the AFC. I'm enjoying that. It's much better than if we were 2-5.
We might have been anyway.
What did we go into the Colts game last year thinking?
Right.
What do you mean?
We went into the Colts game thinking the same thing last year.
And
they
happened?
Had won that
we
game.
Lost it.
The quarterback lost you the game.
Oh, he did not. Stop it. You're embarrassing
yourself. I remember
yourself.
Jabbar Gaffney booting a bomb off his foot. When he could have been a sure touchdown. So anyway,
and the coaching staff.
If Brady had thrown
ball.
That pass, Andy would have written an entire analysis.
That might have been one of the more poorly coached games.
It definitely was.
Yeah,
they dropped the ball every bit as much as Jabbar Gaffney did that day.
You know what?
Every bit as much
as they did in that Jets game that Mike is talking about, where they came out with the no huddle and you know.
Oh well, that wasn't even a coaching decision. That was a game plan pre.
That's what I'm talking about.
They were out coached before the game. You know, 5 days before the game, Rex Ryan out coached them.
Yeah.
And by the way, really good to see how he used Kevin O'Connell just for that. Because Kevin O'Connell is still on the team. They're going Eugene Wilson groin injury here. They're really selling that.
Well, the two worst games that the Patriots played this year, Jets, they had O'Connell, someone familiar with their system. Broncos, Josh McDaniels, someone familiar with their system. Those are the two worst games that they've played this year.
See, I got to tell you, I think nothing compared to how badly they played against Buffalo. They won it.
I know, but that you
but
know,
what
they ended up winning that game, and
that was the worst team. I mean, by far and away,
I think the Bills game last week would have been just like the Tampa game, the way they're playing now.
Oh, the way they're playing
that's
now.
That's how it was supposed to be.
But again,
but they were supposed to play.
That's the way Buffalo's played all year, every game.
You forgot this whole thing that we just read of Reese. When they started the year, they thought they could do things that they realized they can't do, and that was part of that Bills game. They thought they could do things that they can't do.
I guess.
It took them a little while to find out who they are.
I'm not buying. I'm sticking with the game plan.
Okay.
If we come out, I don't know.
In 07, they didn't need a game plan on offense. They came out and they did what they did because they were that good on offense.
But they still changed. But they still changed every week.
You don't think they had a weekly game plan?
What are you talking about?
Every week, yeah. Every week, Randy Moss caught touchdowns. That's what they did.
And he's catching them this year.
Now he's starting to. But remember, he had a drought of four games where he didn't have one.
So they started running the ball so he could get more. So he could get
yes,
more touchdowns.
Yes, play action. That's what that says.
Well, now I'll get back.
I know
to...
what it says. I'm saying I think it's overrated.
Oh, come
I think
on.
It's a game plan
Did
thing.
Did Tom Brady miss him?
What do you mean?
Because that's a factor in here.
Yeah,
he's been completing the opportunities.
He's been wide open all year, and Brady hasn't always hit him.
Right.
Now he's hitting him.
Well,
that's a factor here.
That is true. That's true.
Thanks for finally relenting.
But
although one I still say is going to get grossly overlooked by history when they check the record books and Brady is the player of the month, two players of the week,
and
had 15 touchdowns through whatever.
But I think I think
didn't look that good when we saw it.
I think there's a lot of validity in what
it'll
Reese,
be those curmudgeon media guys.
Yes, what Reese is saying,
he got one of those top 10 lists.
You know,
he wasn't that good. I don't care what everybody tells you.
There's a lot of validity in what Reese is saying and what Brady was saying about what they thought they had in Joey Galloway.
Oh, yeah.
And what they had, and that changed things. Just like at the beginning of the year, what they thought they were going to be able to do if they got Jason Taylor.
Right.
And what they got left with by not getting
him. I understand that. You know. But what I'm saying is I don't think that their moving to the run was as much to do with what happened results-wise as it is a game plan decision.
Right. If we give
that's
them credit for being a game plan team that changes and morphs week to week, that's what they
are.
I
don't think they ever want to go the way they did the first two games.
Right.
I don't think they ever want to be that far out of whack where they're 100-40. I don't think they ever want it to be that far out of whack.
But you know how you
but
get that
just,
way? When you're down 11 in a fourth quarter
exactly.
and have to wing it.
It was circumstantial.
That's how you get there.
It just kind of happened that way.
When you're up 59 in the second quarter, you don't have to wing it.
And we all said it in the Jets game that they had up, but they were running the ball reasonably well in that second Jets game, and penalties killed them, remember?
Mm-hmm.
They had a couple of holding calls that put them into long yarded situations. They were running it reasonably well, but they had to get away from it a little bit. I think that some of those things are more circumstantial, and we try to make too much out of them.
That's what we do as media, except Fred.
But there's no question, Fred. They wanted to do their base offense. What they want to do is to spread the field with their receivers, and they haven't been able to do it because of personnel. You're right.
Sam in Chicago is the person who gave us lunch today.
Tremendous.
Thank you
lunch.
Very much, Sam.
He says, "I hope you enjoy the cookies.
They were great.
They didn't stick.
M&M
chocolate chip cookies. They were great.
I'm about to have another.
Thanks as always for the best Patriots talk show. Question: seeing as the New Orleans Saints will probably be 10-0. When the Patriots play them on Monday night, what are the top three things the Patriots will have to do to get a win on the road November 30th? Like, what do you guys see in last night's game that the Pats will have to pay particular attention to? There doesn't seem to be much besides the Patriots that stand between the Saints and a perfect regular season record. That's Sam in Chicago, who was nice enough to buy us lunch today. So you guys watched the game last night?
No.
Not a lot of it, but pass protection would be number one for me. In the dome, I think that
Paul was trying to get those baseball ratings up.
He's not a Nielsen home.
It's unbelievable. The pass protection, I think, is an issue in the dome. I think that that's going to be very loud. A lot of people in the NFL have talked about how that dome has been completely different since Katrina. It's a much more difficult place to play. It's a significant home
Why
field advantage. It's louder. It's been louder since Katrina.
Construction-wise or just fans?
It's always been loud.
No.
It's always been very
but
loud.
But I think that the fans have really embraced it.
I thought you meant when they redid it, they added.
No, I just think that they're more into it. They've been good. I mean, they've been reasonably good.
I think that's just because they have like a good offense. When your offense is throwing for 4,500 yards every year, they're easy to cheer for. It's fun.
I think that the best way for the Patriots to win that game would be to get out offensively. Everybody's going to focus on, they got to do this, they got to stop this guy, they got to slow down Breeze. I think New Orleans is going to score points.
And,
you have to match it.
Right.
You have to score more points than they did.
And as we saw last night, even with Atlanta and Matt Ryan not playing that well lately, they move the ball against the Saints. Mm-hmm. It's not like the Saints have this shutdown defense.
That's why I would say turnovers.
They're protected.
Yeah.
Turnovers are the biggest key.
You can
that's what I'm talking
about. Turnovers, and that eliminates
your
opportunity
to
match them.
It's not
them.
A good defense, but they do create a lot of turnovers. Now, to me, I know that might not sound like it makes sense. I don't think defenses that create a lot of turnovers are necessarily good because you never know one game to the next when all of a sudden we played the same exact way this week that we have the last 10, but we didn't create any turnovers today. They just kind of happen. Look how it's been for the Patriots. All of a sudden they've come in bunches.
Well, Yeah, but
you never know from week to week if you're going to cause three turnovers.
Over the course of a season, those defenses with the most turnovers tend to be the better defenses.
Yeah, sometimes. Statistically, yes, but I think in theory, no.
I agree with Paul in one sense because I think it's kind of like a baseball team that has all these 25 home run guys. I think in the postseason, all those 25 home run guys go home because a good pitcher sits them down. But I think Darren Sharper is the 45 home run guy. He's been a playmaker wherever he's been, and I think he can be an Ed Reed difference maker.
Yeah.
I don't expect all their – but he to me, is capable of any week of picking off a pass and going to the distance. He's proven it over 13 years. So I think he is a game changer that if you're trying to match scores, he can throw that out of whack when he not only takes away your opportunity to score, but sometimes makes it seven the other way,
yep.
And you lose.
And the Saints also turned the ball over a little bit, too. And, Breeze had two turnovers last night, a fumble and a pick.
Small hands, you know.
Does he have small hands?
I believe so.
So like Dave Craig?
I don't know. John David Booty, very small hands.
But I think that's a pretty good team. I've been impressed with them.
I disagree with the last part of that. It looks like that's the final hurdle on the... I think the Saints are a team that are very good, can put up a lot of points, and could lose any week almost.
Well, they're
more stinker worthy than the 07 Patriots ever were, in my mind.
Yeah, I agree with Andy on that. They're not. I saw the 07 Patriots. The Saints aren't the 07 Patriots, number one.
And the 07 Patriots had to pull some out of their hat.
Right. Against bad teams.
So the Saints are going to have, that Ravens game is coming for the Saints. They had the Dolphins a couple weeks ago where the Dolphins had them on the ropes. To me, there's a couple more of those in the season. Now, if you beat those, if you pull it out of the hat, then you deserve to go undefeated. Yeah, but right. I don't just pencil in victories throughout the rest of the way for them.
And two of the toughest games the Patriots had were terrible teams, Philadelphia and Baltimore. They were terrible those years, that year. But New Orleans also has a couple more difficult games, not just stumbling blocks like Andy says, but they have to go to Atlanta. Atlanta's a good team. They're not great, but they're good.
Yep.
So they have a couple more.
Don't they have Carolina too?
They have Carolina. They have St. Louis.
Could run the ball down their throats and change that game.
Yeah.
If you go D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart back and forth, as long as Jake Delhomme doesn't have one of his brain fart games and give the ball away left and right, to me, Carolina could pull a Miami and just run the ball and run the ball and run the ball and beat you. Even though they're not a very good team.
Sam in Chicago has also sent us an MP3, so let's take a listen to that.
Hi, guys. Hope you're enjoying your lunch today. Thanks for a great show. I'm a new listener, but a longtime Pats fan who grew up in Arlington. PFW is the best Patriot talk show that I can listen to while relaxing in my Wes Welker jersey. Thanks again for the show, and Eric, don't let the guys get to you. I happen to love college kickers who wear V-neck sweaters and have the soft hands of an artist. Love you guys. Go Pats!
Wow.
Wait, Sam in Chicago.
Sam, it must be Samantha.
I won't lie to you. She made it move a little.
Voice. Wow.
I like the voice.
Wow.
I always thought Sam in Chicago was a guy.
So did I.
But she's clearly not a guy.
It's Samantha.
Unless she's got she's one of those 300-pounders with the great sex line voices.
Right. Wow. Okay.
I like her.
And she likes the soft hands of an artist.
I don't have soft hands, but
the other thing's not soft right now either.
All right, here
we
go.
No formal artistic training.
I'm going to give you the rest of
Eric actually didn't care whether Sam was a guy or a woman. He'll go.
I'm going to give you the rest of New Orleans' schedule if you're interested. You interested?
Not really. Go ahead.
Are you interested?
Go ahead.
Carolina.
I'm sure some of the listeners care, even though the two people in this room.
Carolina at St. Louis at Tampa Bay.
Win,
New England.
Win, win, win.
See what I mean? He's just like...
Wow, I can't believe he doesn't give the Patriots a chance.
No, I said St. Louis, Tampa Bay, and Carolina. Win, win, win.
New England.
If he thinks Miami's playing better, what does he think of New Orleans? I mean,
at Washington, at Atlanta, Dallas at home, Tampa Bay, and at Carolina. So they have the Patriots and Dallas and at Atlanta. So
and Dallas isn't a team that could... blow them out
they
one
could.
Day?
Just,
oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
All of a sudden, it's the high-flying Cowboys. Everybody's loving it.
That's three games, I think, that are difficult.
I think the exact opposite of they have a cakewalk. I think they could be question marks for a month of their last two.
Now, the Colts, on the other hand, I can give you their schedule, too. They play
really.
Houston this week, then the Patriots. Then they go to Baltimore, which would be a tough game. At Houston, Tennessee, Denver at home. At Jacksonville, the Jets at home, and then at Buffalo. So they likewise have three.
If I were going to say that
three difficult
one
games.
Of those was more of a cakewalk, I'd give it to the Colts.
Well, that's only because you think the Colts are better than New Orleans because they both have the same amount of cupcakes left on the schedule.
No, I just think the teams on the
well, I think Denver go,
have a better chance.
The Colts were
you
going
think
to
Atlanta
Denver.
Is better than, say, Baltimore?
No. I think Baltimore is the best team that
yeah, but
Indy,
it's in
yeah,
Indy.
I do.
Think that that's a big advantage
I don't
the
think
Colts.
Atlanta's better than Denver.
I think the Denver Broncos are going to be close to 500 when the year ends.
You do?
Yeah.
I'm not sure Atlanta is.
I think they're better.
I think Atlanta has no defense at all. None. And now their quarterback is playing sketchy.
Well, he's going to come around. I think he's a
good
quarterback.
It's a four-game stretch. And
but he's a second-year starter. Don't you expect
yeah, I know,
that?
But,
I expect that with every young quarterback. I don't ever say.
I do expect it. That's
okay,
why I don't
this
think
guy's anointed.
That good.
He's great. See, I think for his four-game stretch of bad, you're going to get a four-game stretch of good coming up.
Yeah, maybe.
And I'll ride that. And if that happens to be the Saints, they beat him.
508-543.
Because in his bad stretch, they didn't lose by much.
Is the phone number. On the phone is Craig. Craig,
hey.
How you doing?
Cheater.
Shut up.
Taking time out from calling the other stations?
Glad you
yeah,
could squeeze
well,
us in.
Yeah, well, you know, you guys weren't on that day. What you going to do? And by the way, I can't believe it. It's a freaking miracle. Andy was actually right about something.
What was that?
The New Orleans game is going to come down to turnovers. You know, they're a potent offense, but, you know, if you surrender the ball once or twice, then that's that much longer that your defense is on the field and just increases the potential to score more. So if we win the turnover battle in New Orleans, all things being equal, I think we've got that game.
It's good astute analysis, Craig.
Well, winning the turnover battle, all things aren't equal.
Well, all other things being equal, guess who else is being contentious today, Paul? Yeah, but
well
you know,
said,
Paul,
Craig.
I mean,
Andy, today,
but I mean,
Andy has every right.
I'll go with the team that wins the turnover battle every other week in the NFL too. I mean,
yeah.
I guess I'll go with that.
Oh, Craig, you and Paul are going head to head. Go,
prickly Paul.
Hey, Paul, did you know
Craig.
That Andy has the right to criticize your football skills? After all, he set the state record for blocking field goals. He played nose tackle and just stood up and kept kicking the ball into his head.
Wow. He laughs at his own joke.
No,
I like
good
it, Craig.
I laugh at the
well done.
The rim shot.
You know, you get a little
shot.
Help now and again.
Sure.
Hey, listen, you know, I really think our D is playing well. Again, the numbers are somewhat skewed because of our competition who we've been playing against. But do you guys really think that Merriweather would have made that pick in the last game if Bill hadn't called the secondary together saying, hey, guys, Joseph is staring down the receivers. Play him tight. Watch the guy. Make a move if you've got one. And next thing you know, Merriweather's running down the sideline with a pick six.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I think he says stuff like that all the time.
Yeah, I think he would have because I think the ball was thrown 5 yards inside of the receiver, and I think someone was going to be there to pick it off. It was Merriweather. He made a nice break. I think it was a good play by the Patriots. I expect Bill to have them prepared. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to give all the credit to Bill. I think Brandon Merriweather made a nice play on that play.
No, I'm just saying it's an accumulative thing, okay? You know, would Merriweather have broken on that ball? Would he have watched the quarterback's eyes as closely as he did if Bill hadn't said it? Who knows? The whole point is you got a young player with a lot of talent and athleticism, and he's out there being well-coached and making plays. And, you know, the D as a whole is very pleasantly surprising to me how they're playing. I think the keys going forward, like in the Miami game, you know, they've got to make some stops. There's no way that, you know, Miami's going to run the ball on them all day, you know, Wildcat or not. And I just don't see any way that Miami's going to be able to beat the Pats.
Yeah, I agree all around, Craig. I'm with you.
You know, I think the key to the beating the Colts is same as it always has been, guys. You got to get Manning off his spot. If you're going to blitz him, you blitz him up the middle or from the left side of the line. And, you know, that's pretty much it. I think we're going to beat both of them, to be honest with you.
I'm really surprised.
Well, okay.
Paul's mocking
No, seriously, I see this thing coming together. I mean, you know, between Aiken and Tate, you know, as a third wide receiver, I mean, you can't double cover everybody. You know, that's going to leave a linebacker on Watson. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, that's a mismatch. So, you know, if we get our third receiver stepping up, I mean, hell, we could bust loose.
Yep. Okay. I'm with you, Craig.
There's a shock.
All right. By the way, correct me if I'm wrong, Paul.
Okay, I will. I'm ready.
He always does.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well,
I'm ready,
Craig.
Let me have it, buddy.
You can count on him. Okay, zone blocking schemes. Those teams on the offensive line that use zone blocking, those are the teams we've had quite a bit of trouble with in stopping the run game, is it not? I mean, Denver historically, the Dolphins the last couple of years.
I would say, I don't know enough about every team's individual schemes, but I would definitely say in the past, you're right, Denver under Shanahan.
Yeah, but everybody had trouble with
used that. To run the ball. On the, yeah, but the Patriots don't have – see, this is one of those things for you can't say everybody when you're talking about the Patriots. But things that bother everybody else don't necessarily bother the Patriots. That's something that bothered everybody else and bothered the Patriots.
Okay, well, I'm just saying that Denver is
I think Craig is
historically
right.
been a good running team.
Right, but the Patriots have historically shut down good running teams, but not Denver. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything.
Well, and see, the Dolphins, they've been doing the zone blocking scheme since last year. And I think that's part of the reason why if they're not leading the league in rushing, you know, they're damn sure in the top three. And that, you know, I think that's where speed is going to be an asset to our defense as opposed to a bunch of bigger, slower guys. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's
I think
what John brought that up, John in Dallas, right? He was out of the caller, right?
Yeah.
He brought that up earlier. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that manifests itself because there's no question this defense is faster than, you know, the previous couple of years. That's been an issue, and Bill has worked hard to try to correct that.
I'm having a difficult time deciding who is the biggest surprise this year, Brandon McGowan or Merriweather. But they're both playing really well, and well, I just take my hat off to them.
Yeah, I mean, Merriweather's been on a...
for me, it's McGowan.
Yeah, McGowan's a surprise. No one even knew his name before the season started.
And Merriweather was doing this last year. He had a few picks, and then late in the year he had those strip sacks.
Yep. So he's been on
a hitting.
I think McGowan's played better than Merriweather, too, on a week-to-week basis.
McGowan would be on special teams covering kicks, and he's been the starting safety making plays.
Right.
I think part of it is a byproduct of our team speed, but we seem to be knocking the crap out of people.
Well, that's fine, but I just want to get off the field on third down. I'm not so concerned about the big hits. You know, I think that sometimes I think they go for the big hits instead of just trying to wrap the guy up. I'm just happy knocking balls down and getting off the field. I don't care about how much they punish this year.
Fundamental Freddy.
That's right.
I hear you, bud.
All right, Craig.
See you guys.
Thanks
great talking
for calling.
To you.
All right, Craig.
LEEI, we said hi.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Think he's laughing right now?
No.
Eric will be here pretty soon with a practice report.
Pretty soon.
Pretty soon.
Are they actually out there practicing? I thought Tuesday was a day off.
It's a bye week. It's all different.
Yeah,
they had the whole weekend.
They had the whole week last week, basically.
Yeah, so they're going to practice every day this week?
You're down on him practicing?
Well, I don't know. I just, you know, I thought Tuesday was normally...
Fundamental Freddy, opposed to practicing.
I thought you like routine. You like to keep things the same way every week.
Okay.
Kamani writes in, I'm curious if during your time in England you got to hang out around some of the sites or neighborhoods. I'm also wondering if Eric was able to behave himself during the trip. Did he fall in love with anyone during the trip?
I don't believe so.
Well... Andy and I fell in love about 87 different times just walking around London. There was one stunning woman after another.
Yeah.
All too tall.
We were mostly in the, I don't know what area you would call.
Hyde Park
area.
You know. I don't know what you would call. Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's like the financial district or the shopping district or the theater district.
I think it's the Grosvenor district.
The Grosvenor district?
That was the whole plot of land.
That's why
there's multiple hotels and everything. They all owned it, the Grosvenor family.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Got any other guys on there that I thought were guys that are really hot sounding chicks?
I don't know, but Sam in Chicago. Mm.
Cormac, nope. Met him. Matt, not a hot chick.
Matt in Springfield says, walked into my local barbershop over the weekend in Springfield, sitting in one of the barber chairs, Big Ron Brace. This is the third time I've seen him in there. The guy is stacked with not a lot of fat, unlike Wilfork. I give him a simple head nod without wanting to seem like an Eric type groupie.
Gave him the sup.
He's done getting his haircut, pays his barber with handshakes all around, hops in his Cadillac Escalade and drives off. His barber walks up to my barber and says Big Ron dropped his bank receipt. $168K was the nice round number on his receipt. Quite the conversation ensued. That's probably his small account. One of the barbers says, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, he ain't earning it because he's been inactive in the last four games, but didn't want to say anything negative or to seem like I know everything about the guy because I follow the team so closely. They would think I had no life. He does seem like a cool dude. He had a high school all-star game that my little brother played in. Nice platinum chain with diamonds in it. I hope he doesn't normally drop bank receipts all over the place.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to be doing.
No.
For anybody, never mind an NFL player. He does have some fat on his body,
oh,
I would say.
Quite a bit.
He must have had a very flattering attire on for you to think he has no fat, because he's a very nice guy. Every few times I've spoken with him, very nice.
Big fan.
And seems to be handling the situation. I don't want to make it sound like more than it is, but that Myron Pryor's playing, he's not.
Yeah, I'm sure he's frustrated. But you know,
he's been fine with it. But he has a large tattoo of Massachusetts on his back.
413 he has, which is the area code in Western Mass.
Right.
Some of it kind of goes into the folds, which would get into the part where he's fat.
He's fat.
No offense. They all
but
are.
That's so what
it's
they
more
are.
Like
aside from
four,
Mike Wright.
4-3 or something like that? No?
Doc, are you paying attention?
Seymour.
Obviously not.
Seymour was one of the few
Mike Wright
guys up front like that.
Has
that,
no fat on him.
You know, he didn't look like that. You didn't look at him and say, oh, that's a lineman.
Ron Brace is fat.
Ron Brace, Myron Pryor.
Fat. So we
Chubby.
Talked earlier about Jarvis Green
Brandon
having
Gorin.
Surgery, you know, on his knee, being out maybe for a few weeks. Does Ron Brace get a chance?
Well, I think he'll be active. They've carried a certain number of defensive linemen, and if Jarvis Green is out, I would think Brace will get a chance.
It would make sense. The only thing is, I'm not sure how much playing time that translates to, because I think Brace would be more of an inside guy, whereas Green would be outside, but it might be the trickle down to,
and Brace will play nose.
It might be the trickle down to, you know, in that, you know, maybe guys move around.
Yeah,
you know,
Pryor can play both, and my guess would be Pryor would get reps for Green, and Brace will get some potential rotation.
Mike Smith, by the way, Fred, last night at the end of that game,
the coach
made a very, very smart decision that most guys don't do, not enough guys do. Down 11, down two scores at the end of the game.
Yep.
He, you know, a lot of coaches just get married to the fact we have to get the touchdown first and they cost themselves a chance.
Right, no.
He made a very smart move that cost a lot of people a lot of money. Because the spread was 10 in a lot of places. It might have gone up or whatever, but we had it at 10. And, you know, New Orleans is up by 11, 40 seconds left. The Falcons kicked the field goal on fourth down.
Try to extend the game.
Right. They ended up getting the onside kick, so they had a chance.
Right.
A lot of teams, they just say, well, we're going to go for it on fourth down.
Right. No.
That's not the right move.
Right.
You get within one score.
That's right.
But unfortunately for a lot of people who bet the game, that's not what they were looking for.
Kevin says, Miami scares the hell out of me this week. They have been in most every game this year.
They have
That's true.
They did the exact same thing last year record-wise. I think the Wildcat will not be an issue for us this week. I also think that the return game is an anomaly.
That's true. By the way, their return game has been terrible all year.
Yeah. One may happen, but not two returns 2 weeks in a row. They are starting to feel confidence, and they are really liking Henny. What do you guys think is going to be the element that is going to keep Miami in this game? Because I think they will be. I can't put my finger on what it is, but I do think this is going to be a tough one for us.
I agree with all the Miami side of that, but if the Wildcat is not an issue, then it's not going to be close.
What about their defense giving us trouble?
Well, that's my concern, is the pass rush. They haven't been great. They
haven't
been
dominant. I think it'll be all
right. But Porter and Taylor still scare me. Maybe I'll see him in person and say they're not having great
Our guy's
years,
back,
but...
by the way, too. Matt Roth came off of PUP, I believe. And the other guy, your Canadian sensation there, has got a couple of sacks, too. Although Making waves
for the Dolphins defense.
He didn't play much the other day with Roth back. But Andy's right. They can disrupt games, and that's how they've done it. You know, you want to say Brady has struggled against Miami? Well, the times that he's really struggled against Miami have been the result of Jason Taylor.
Tommy.
His buddy Tommy.
Right.
But
is Mike going to be back?
I think it looks it, doesn't it?
Kind of, but I don't know.
Let's do the Paul and Andy eyeball test.
Sure.
We're good at that.
Yeah, he also looks like a tight end, so the eyeball test is failing me.
He looked real comfortable today.
He looks comfortable and skinny to me. I'd say he doesn't weigh three bills.
He did. He's going to be one of those offensive linemen you're not going to recognize 5 years
He'll be in a suit.
After he graduates, but after he retires.
Yeah.
You won't even recognize him. I think if the Wildcats not an issue, Freddie, this game's not an issue. If Miami can't run the ball the way they've run the ball all year, I don't see how they compete.
Yeah.
Do you?
No, I don't.
I think they have to shorten the game. I think all the cliches.
No, I don't. Why are you yelling at me?
But I think all the cliches are accurate in this game. I think Miami has to shorten the game, keep it on the ground, grind it out, keep the defense on the sideline, and then score some points while doing it, like they did against Indianapolis. Well, and if the Wildcat doesn't work, if they can't run the ball, I don't see how they stay competitive. Because Chad Henne's not going to put points on the board.
No, they're not. But, you know, the combination of Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown, I mean, they've got over 1,000 yards between the two of them.
They run the ball well.
They run the ball well. And like you said, what a lot of teams have had trouble with, sometimes the Patriots don't. Hopefully this is the case. They have been able to stop the run pretty effectively this season. This will be a good test for them. Whether they're running out of the Wildcat or, behind Henne, I think, they do pose, a threat to this defense.
What about the Pat White party?
Well, that's the thing. The other thing is this the week that they roll out extensively Pat White in the Wildcat?
He's the third formation phase, whatever you want to call it, of that offense.
Right. That would be a new wrinkle that the Patriots.
Well, they've used it
every game, but just they.
Could it be
Has he thrown out of it yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he has.
Not a lot.
I don't know what the success.
Not a lot. He's only thrown a couple of passes, and Ronnie Brown's thrown a couple of passes.
Right.
But they've shown it.
Yeah. But I'm saying, could this be the week he throws like eight passes and has eight carries?
Right.
Like,
could be.
He's a quarter of the offense or something.
Right. Well, we'll see.
It could be.
That would be a wrinkle.
I think that Pennington. Henne gives them a little bit of a different dynamic in that he has a bigger arm and can get the ball downfield. But I think for the Patriots, Pennington has proven that he can be productive against the Patriots. That's a lot of P's. But I think he's proven that he can be productive against the Patriots.
Right.
I'm not sure Henne can do that.
Right.
And you know what? I was really, really unimpressed with Henne on Sunday. I thought he ran around aimlessly when he got under pressure. He looked really rattled to me. Took 5 sacks in that game and some big ones, too, like 16-yard losses. I think the Patriots are going to have a party with him on Sunday.
Freddie, did you am I the only immature one, or did you read in the coordinator's box in Patriots Football Weekly when Paul was writing about Dan Henning's offense, and he wrote, "He's at his best when his unit is grinding it out."
No, I didn't.
Thank you,
make
Fred.
Any
I didn't think there was anything sexual about that at all.
Don't do that anymore.
Don't do that again.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Tuesday through Thursday, have lunch with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly on PFW in Progress.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the View of football. It's just four guys having lunch.
PFW in Progress, Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but I,
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back to back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's Greatest Players, or The Signature Film, showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass., and is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information, or go online to thehallatpatriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Now, fun facts from Fred Kirsch.
Fred.
Yeah.
Are your sources telling you that the report that Dolphin Stadium is going to become Landshark Field, is that accurate?
I've heard that too. What is Landshark? Is that a company now?
Lager. It's a beer.
It's one of Jimmy Buffett's beers.
That's cool.
He's, I know, weird though. He has a
Dolphins
role with the team
play
now?
At Landshark. Yeah, it is. That is weird. Because the shark isn't a dolphin. One's a mammal. Right. One's a mammal and the other's a fish. Right?
That's not even class record. The shark's not a dolphin.
That was a
fun fact
from Fred Kirsch.
All right. Welcome back to PFW in Progress. Eric is here. Eric is fresh off the fields of Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
Practice. Upper practice field
upper,
today.
Upper
huh?
today. Yeah, they have their run of the place. The Revs get kicked down to the lower fields now.
Even though they're
now that they're in the playoffs and, you know,
let's be honest,
Patriots always have the run of the place.
So, Eric, what news do you bring forth, young man?
A couple of surprises.
And a nice V-neck.
I knew that was coming.
Cashmere sweater.
Yes. With the waffle, whatever the thing underneath.
Yeah, waffle weave. The lumberjack undershirt going on. Makes your guns look big.
I don't know if it does that. But
should we let Eric hear Sam's?
Yes, I would like to hear that. Let me just get this out of the way, doctor,
and
we'll hear.
You know that shirt's broken if it's supposed to make your guns look big. Cause it's not working.
I just said it wasn't, Andy.
Take it back.
Yeah, okay. Fine.
The buy store.
Couple of surprises in the did not practice category today. Jonathan Wilhite and Adalys Thomas were among the missing. There were five others.
They're going to sign Chambers. They've gotten rid of Adalys Thomas to make room.
And Wilhite met a couple guys in the parking lot again.
The other usual suspects.
Jonathan!
Edelman, Taylor, Morris, Light, and Green, of course. I'm
Edelman,
sure already...
Taylor, Morris, Light, and Green?
Yeah. In addition to those first two that I mentioned.
So no real good news today.
Not a whole lot of good news, no. Your friend Rob Myers, the practice squad tight end, was out there, number 80.
Took over for your friend.
Yeah,
Tony
Robbie Agnone.
Oh, Robbie.
Right. Full
Tony
pads.
Agnone.
Full pads out there today, Fred.
Yeah.
So a little hitting extra data. Work on the Wildcat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fred's a little upset they're even practicing, so don't even tell
Are you really?
He is.
Yeah.
Well, Tuesday, isn't that their day off?
Yeah, but they had 2 days off this past, 4 days off.
Well,
this
that's
past
the whole
week.
Point of a bye week is you have days off.
Right, and they're playing a team that killed them here at home last year, so they have an extra day to prepare.
All right, I just thought.
Fred now admonishing the head coach for practicing.
I know. I like
overworking
to keep
them.
Routines the same.
So ridiculous.
For every long
agree,
week,
Bill.
There's a short week.
Hey, how about in the totally irrelevant PFW in progress like tangent, the Ryan Clark situation is kind of interesting.
You're going to have to update me on the Ryan Clark situation.
Steelers are playing Denver. Steelers are playing in Denver.
Okay.
And evidently Ryan Clark has a condition, some kind of sickle cell. Well, yeah. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what the medical
term is.
He almost
died last time.
Yeah, and the last time he had a lot of complications. I think he had to have his spleen removed
Liver,
or something
spleen,
like that.
Liver, spleen, something.
So he's undergone a battery of tests, and they've really been monitoring him, the doctors, and they're trying to figure out if he should play or not.
Hmm. Wow.
I think they play Monday night.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh and Denver.
I think he said it's up to him, but he's still trying to figure it out.
And you can understand that he'd be reluctant.
Yeah, no one likes to lose their spleen.
And I don't really want the doctor telling me it's up to me. I'm not a doctor.
No.
Right.
You tell me is there a risk I could die if I play? If you say yes, I won't play. If you say, don't say it's up to me.
I was a little curious.
It's like washing your hands. Whatever you think is best.
If you want to die, you go right ahead and play.
I was a little curious. What is it about Denver that's different that would make this situation? Because, you know, Bill Belichick tells me all the time, there's no such thing.
The altitude's not a factor.
Yeah. So there you go. That's
but how does he fly?
That's it. A lot of media?
We're like 30,000 feet when we fly.
Nah. About the normal amount.
Yeah, but it's pressurized.
Well, they're all covering the World Series, all the media.
Are they?
I don't know.
No, they're not.
Wasting money.
You look a little disgusted at this point. Is everything going all right today?
It's been a long show.
Has it? Really?
Within the first 15 minutes, we had three arguments.
We did.
I agree
with
you.
3 5-minute arguments in,
in the first 15 minutes?
One stupider than the next.
One right after the other, apparently.
Yes. It started off with Andy, and then I got sucked in, and you know how I get. So all of a sudden, 15 minutes were gone.
Paul, so let me hear Hot Sam.
Very contentious.
Oh, look at Eric.
No, it's a woman, I told
you. Not a female listener gets by Eric, let me tell you.
Gets by Eric.
Hi, guys. Hope you're enjoying your lunch today. Thanks for a great show. I'm a new listener, but a longtime Pats fan who grew up in Arlington. PFW is the best Patriot talk show that I can listen to while relaxing in my West Walker jersey. Thanks again for the show, and Eric, don't let the guys get to you. I happen to love college kickers who wear V-neck sweaters and have the soft hands of an artist. Love you guys. Go Pats.
Wow.
I have
it's not all soft right now.
Wow.
She kind of reminds me of the woman who's doing the commercials for that new V show.
Yes, the alien woman.
Yeah, the short dark
with
hair.
The short hair. Yeah,
that's why I'm now kind of wondering if she's a
what?
What? Have you seen those promos for the new V show?
But how does
how
she
have you avoided
you?
Them?
The voice. He's
the
saying.
Voice.
Oh, okay.
Because she sounds like a computer.
Like, she does sound like a computer.
Like he was describing.
She either scripted it and practiced. She's very. We might be getting taken here.
I don't see any commercials. You know that.
She sounds way too good to be true, first of all.
I don't think that's Sam, by the way, in Chicago. I think that's a friend of Sam
that's
in Chicago.
I'm saying.
Or,
I'm thinking
spouse
Sam
sounds
too good to be true.
Penis or no penis?
Oh.
What is it? What are we saying here?
Well, that voice certainly doesn't have one.
And can we get a photo of whoever it is in the MP3?
I will say, however, that Fred and Andy were right.
Andy.
It moved.
a very hot voice, no question about it.
And did this aforementioned Sam provide the cookies?
Yes. Aforementioned Sam, she did provide the cookies.
Nice. Maybe.
Well, Sam in Chicago provided the cookies. I don't know if that is Sam in Chicago.
We really do spiral off like nobody else.
It's all right.
The MP3 is labeled Sam in Chicago.
Okay.
508-543-7482 on the phone. Is Iggy still on the phone?
Dave in the Philippines.
Oh, Dave in the Philippines is on the phone. Dave, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good.
Long time.
For the first 15 minutes I was on hold, you were actually talking about football, so I was able to stay awake.
Wow.
Then you sort of drifted off there at the end.
Well, Eric,
it happens.
I called up right after Craig because I wanted to add another key point when we face some of these good teams coming up like Indy and the Saints.
Add a key point?
We can't have 11 penalties and expect to beat either one of those teams. If you remember the Jets game that we lost, we really beat ourselves more than the Jets beat us.
Yeah, that was a mental loss.
They've been lately, but then
you know what? A lot of penalties in London too. Even though we won,
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of penalties in London.
Mostly
I think we had 8 penalties or 9 penalties in that game.
Some key penalties
there were
last year against the Colts.
There were 10, 8 of them on the offensive line.
10 against Tampa Bay. So that's a lot of penalties. That's a good point.
Yep.
Yeah, there was 11 against the Jets, so we got to do better than that. Indy will pick us apart if we're shooting ourselves in the foot.
True that.
They'll take advantage of us.
No question.
All right, well, that's why I called. I'll let you guys get back to talking about MP3s.
Well, what's going on in the Philippines, Dave? Anything good?
Well, it's 2:30 in the morning because you guys went on to daylight savings now, so I have to stay up an hour later to listen to you.
Wow.
We've had 4 storms come through in the last month and a half. 2 of them were pretty bad.
Right.
The last one wasn't so bad, just sort of skidded by us to the south.
Yeah.
But I was actually in the States. I left the day the big storm came, and a lot of my friends got flooded out of their houses. So.
Oh, wow.
Luckily, my family wasn't affected. But I felt sort of bad. I was over in Vermont watching the leaves change, and a lot of my buddies were bailing water out of their first floors and having their cars float away down the street.
Well,
so that was sort of sad.
Well, hang in there.
Yep, not much going on over here.
All right, Dave. Thanks for
see you, Dave.
Guys. Thanks all for right. checking in, bye. Dave in the Philippines. I mean, what other talk show, you know, radio talk show has their callers calling in from the Philippines? I mean, come on.
I don't know. I'm glad he got his what's that the
Magic Jack
thing straightened
he
out.
He might have got the new one. There's a new one out there, a competitor.
Previously untapped area in the radio talk show circles too. I mean, I think people have been dying to find clamoring for the Philippines.
Could we argue
angle.
We are the number one Patriots specific internet radio show
worldwide.
In the ratings in the Philippines?
I would absolutely
in the world, yeah. I think.
In the world.
I would say in the world.
I got a buddy out in the Philippines.
But the U.S.
Universe.
Lives in
universe.
A gated
why
community.
Stop?
Says he does the locals two at a time. So he's having a
what
great
what happened to you like in the last time? In the last 11 minutes, what happened to you?
What's that?
He stopped caring.
He got a phone call.
Like you did
and then
6 years
went
ago.
Downhill.
From his
it's
wife.
completely spiraling out of control.
Let's see. Well, you know, I figured if the Patriots can practice on their day off, I can do what I want. Jeff in Carrollton, Texas, says, "Hey,
can't argue with that logic.
Hey, fellas,
why
even
can't you?
Even including Eric, so you're a fella.
All right, thanks.
From what we've seen in college practice and the Tampa game, is Brandon Tate better suited to play the stalwart role of the outside receiver or the Edelman role of the other slot receiver? To me, it seems like his potential is to be the outside receiver opposite Moss, opening up underneath routes for Welker and Baby Welker." What do you think?
I would agree.
I think his speed dictates that he goes outside.
And his lack of knowledge of the playbook would dictate that I want him less involved in the middle of the field
yeah.
where a lot of bad stuff can happen if he's not exactly where he's supposed to be.
Well, who was it? Casario said that on the play that it looked like Brady overthrew him where he actually ran the wrong route.
Well, but that's irrelevant
yeah, but
to
that
right.
play.
No, it's irrelevant to the – it's still an overthrow.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. At some point, he decided the guy deep down the middle, who whether he was supposed to be deep down the middle or not, was the guy he was throwing to, and he didn't throw it to him.
Right. But he underthrew him by 5 yards.
Yes, Fred Casario said yesterday that he ran the wrong route, and evidently Tate said after the game that he ran the wrong route on that play. But I maintain on Andy and Eric, we talked about this yesterday. When Brady threw that pass, Brandon Tate was 5 yards behind the defender,
right?
And Brady knew that,
right.
And threw it to the defender instead.
That's right.
He underthrew a deep ball. Yeah. I'm not going to kill Brady over it, but
no.
He underthrew the pass.
Right. And I can understand pointing out that he ran the wrong route, but also point out that he got 5 yards separation on the
yeah.
defender. So he obviously did something right on the play.
Right. Let's see. Here is some non-Patriots games for you guys. Set the line in these fictional scenarios.
Oof.
There's three of them. Cleveland Browns at the Florida Gators.
Gators by 7.
Browns by 70.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Cleveland Browns at the Texas Longhorns.
So he heard the second he really team. He goes,
Browns by 80.
Cleveland Browns at the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Push.
85.
Right. So your point, Paul, is as bad as the Browns
yes.
are, their head and shoulders better than any college team.
And before Andy starts making fun of me some more, I understand that it was just for fun.
No, but I'm just saying
it's just for fun. That's why I got so mad.
I just
Fred
got,
said Cleveland Browns at the, and you were like listening, and then he said Florida Gators.
Instantly,
because I really like when the listeners do those games, and we can kind of throw them in there. But then I didn't realize he was just kind of
it was for
silly.
Fun, and Paul's not into
Paul,
fun.
Yeah.
No,
Paul got mad.
I think they are fun, but I was expecting something different. I got buttons.
It has to be serious fun, though.
Now, there's a case, Paul.
See, I knew you were going to do that.
Where I think Joshua Cribbs could run the Wildcat that whole game, and they would kill Florida.
By 70.
Now, against the NFL, Patriots.
Now, however, if they put the game in Derek Anderson's hands, all bets are off.
Nate Run writes in. He says, "Hey, Andy.
Hey, Nate Run.
A Kenyan was taken down this weekend in the New York Marathon. That's a bad sign for you and your picks."
Yeah. Well, wait till we get to Thursday. Those were also a bad sign for me and my picks.
And didn't a horrid Pats D hold the Colts to 18 points last year? I know the Colts are an explosive team, but I think we have the players to contain them this year. I just fear the fact that our pass rush is still suspect.
Yeah, that's true. The Colts also were not anywhere near as good last year at the time that they played as they are right now.
That's right.
And
they were 3-4 last year.
And also, I would say that smoke and mirrors. Colts moved the ball pretty well that
mm-hmm.
night. The fact that they only ended up with 18 points was a great job by the Patriots defense.
Right.
Really. I mean, I think they really stepped up and
right.
did well to minimize the damage. But the Colts probably, with the same kind of performance are going to score more than 18 points.
I mean, there are people that believe Peyton Manning is playing his best football, regardless of 50 touchdowns and all that crap.
I'm raising my hand. I'm one of them.
So, I mean,
by the way, though,
that's scary.
We talked earlier in the show about the demise of the Giants, you know, how they've lost their last three games. I was on board beginning of the season thinking Eli, you know, he'd got it. Like, he came in, he just looked more comfortable. He looked more confident. And all of a sudden,
I was with you, too.
Yeah. It's just gone south for him. Yeah. I don't know what the deal is there.
I thought that there was a time, and you were right, it was five. You know, Doc looked it up there. If they were 5-0, I thought they were clearly the best team in football.
Yeah.
But now you have to look back at it and say, well, you know, who exactly did they beat on the way to that 5-0? Was,
right. That's you know, my whole theory about the schedules at the end of the season.
It was one,
that's not really a theory. It's a fact.
No, it is a fact.
No, it's
you're right.
It's
a fun fact. You know what your record is.
But the only thing is, Fred, no one thought when they beat Oakland.
It's the least fun fact ever.
No one thought when they beat Oakland and Tampa Bay that those were good wins. It was just that we thought they were a good team and it didn't matter who they played.
Right, but we didn't know how bad those teams were.
Yes, we did.
Mike and Charlotte writes in.
Just say right, both of you.
What is the latest news? Right. What is the latest news of the return of Fred?
We didn't know how bad Tampa was.
You're interrupting me reading Mike and Charlotte's email. What is the latest news on the return of Fred Taylor and Sammy Morris?
He wants nothing.
Good thing we got that one in.
Nothing. Well, Fred believes Sammy Morris.
Paul making fun of the email.
Paul making fun of you. We already talked about that.
Paul thinks Sammy Morris is dead because they signed. Who they signed?
They didn't sign anybody.
Sammy Morris. They worked out.
I did. They didn't sign anybody. Now you're giving misinformation.
Because Paul believes they need Maurice Morris to run the Wildcat full time.
Oh, for God's sakes. You're such a loser. Very contentious today he is, by the way.
That sounds like it from the
start
of the show, you guys.
You should have seen him going at Fred. Fred very innocently said that Miami's playing well lately. They've won three of their last four, by the way.
Scoring and 30 points
Fred,
each time.
Andy climbed up one side
passing,
of Fred.
That's good. 52 yards
he
rushing.
Climbed up one side of Fred right down the other. And after I was making fun of Andy, then I jumped in. bad first 15 minutes.
Let's see. Dan Heffron writes in, I wouldn't guarantee that the Colts will beat Buffalo at Buffalo on January 3rd, but I would still favor the Colts a little bit. If the weather is as bad as it was last year, the Colts could easily lose that game. But but I don't think they will be undefeated at that point to even worry about it. New Orleans has an easier road. I would rather play the Pats, Dallas, and at Atlanta than the Pats, Denver, and at Baltimore.
Yeah, I agree
and they
with
don't
the,
have
the
any
email.
Cold weather games that a dome team on the road has to worry about. I looked at it. My eye test said that the Saints had the easier road.
I think the Saints have the easier schedule. I think Andy's right in that they have a better chance to lose because they're not as good. I think they could lose to a bad team.
Yep.
I think that's Andy's point.
Who, the Saints?
Yeah. The Saints could lose to Carolina.
A mediocre team.
I don't.
You think the Colts are better than the Saints?
I don't think the Saints are going to lose to like Tampa, but I think they could lose to Carolina.
Right, and I don't think that will. I don't think that's likely to happen. Indy. If Indy's going to lose, it will probably be to the Patriots or to Denver or in Baltimore or something like that.
That gets back more to Manning.
Well, although they
say Manning won't lose,
I don't put Breeze
yet in that class.
If the Colts needed to win in Week 16 or Week 17, whatever it is, I would have no doubt whatsoever. That they would go into Buffalo.
But the Colts were in danger of losing this weekend. Took Joseph Addai throwing a Wildcat touchdown pass to win.
And you know, Manning had an off day. He missed some open receivers, still finished with over 300 yards.
Oh,
But he did miss some wide open receivers.
So Manning threw for 350 and had an off day.
That game,
Chad Henne
threw highlights
for
52, and he's playing well.
He's rolling along.
That game, it looked like there was
Fred's
being played
swear.
In the old Texas Stadium because it had the weird
sun
and shadow angle, and it looked, you know, because
that was a weird game.
The roof.
I think those games are good
open
for
the
teams.
Roof. I mean.
I think those games are good for good teams. I think much like
when you
win
them.
When you win. Yeah. Just like a couple of those for the Patriots in 07. I think you end up, and listen, ultimately they didn't win the Super Bowl, so I know we're all disappointed by it, but I think when you win those games, when you kind of struggle and things aren't going well, but you find a way to win, I think that's a character builder.
Sure it is. Yeah.
And that's what they were talking about after the game. And I think it was one of those things that they just couldn't score in the red zone. They were in the red zone constantly. Stover, I think, had 4 field goals in that game.
Yep.
And they were all chip shots.
And, you know, they've done that before.
Yeah, that's what they did to the Patriots last year, the 18-15
that's
game.
Right.
That's what sometimes that happens.
Wasn't there a game 2 years ago where every time we looked, we were in the Meadowlands. Every time we looked on the board, the Colts were in the red zone. I think they were playing the Redskins, and the Redskins ended up winning the – I forget, but it was like every time, you know, the Colts were in the red zone, but they just couldn't score.
Yeah, I mean, that's – You said it about the, you know, the Saints game and the Colts game when the Patriots played. It's going to come down to third down in red zone, and that's what those games ultimately come down to.
Yeah,
because you're not going to just have three and outs, a string of three and outs all day. It's not going to happen.
No, they're just too good.
They're two good offensive teams, the Patriots and the Colts, or the Patriots and the Saints. So to expect a parade of punts, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. Did you see the mic'd up Sean Payton thing last night? Did you see that, Fred?
I'm not sure.
Right before the game, I think it was from last year's Saints-Falcons game. And at one point he goes, you know, X counter flanker Z Y. No, wait a minute. I don't really like that one. Yeah. I like it. Run it. Just run it, I guess. And I'm thinking, like, this is a guy who's orchestrating the best offense in football, like record, and he's just like indecisive. They try to make it out to be like it's this exact science where everything is, he set that play up four plays earlier with this, and at the last minute he's like, no. Ah, heck yeah, just run it.
He's going with his gut.
I think Sean Payton tries to be a little bit like Bill Parcells on the sideline. You notice that? He has a lot of his tendencies.
No, I haven't.
I'm not, before you yell at me,
right.
I'm just asking you what those would be.
Like,
what are Parcells' tendencies?
Yelling at guys, sarcastic remarks to guys that just made a bad play on the sideline.
What does he say?
Like, you know, that was a good play. You know, that really helped us. Things like that.
That's what he says?
Yeah.
Just help Fred out.
You know.
How do you know that?
See, I never heard Parcells say that either. But
I can read lips.
And his mouth, his gestures, he picked up a lot from Parcells when he was with Parcells.
Okay. So in recapping, we know what Asante Samuel was thinking the night before the Super Bowl, and now we know what
we didn't have to know what he was
saying
thinking,
on the sideline.
He said it. We didn't have to know what he was thinking.
No,
he said it.
But you don't know what he was thinking.
Okay, so he was saying one thing, but thinking another.
Except for Fred.
He was thinking about
except
being a free agent, but he wasn't thinking.
You know what he was thinking, Paul?
He wasn't thinking about the game.
Paul, he was thinking, I'm going to be a free agent, so I won't catch this ball, because that wouldn't help me be a free agent.
That's not going to put any extra money in my pocket, being the Super Bowl MVP. That's not going to work.
That's not the point, you know it.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap now.
But he does. I was wrong. He really does believe his own crap.
And it is crap.
Patriots fans, you with me?
Is this how the show
started? Of
course
they are.
This is how the show started?
No. It started, I told you, with him climbing up Fred and crawling down the other side.
Yeah.
He scored 30 points or more in four straight games. They're not playing well.
And Fred almost dropped an F-bomb.
Did you?
This close. Shut the up.
Yeah, you did. You were close.
We
didn't bleep it out.
You caught yourself.
You did.
For once, you did have control.
You edited yourself.
That's right. Okay. Full control. I knew what I was doing. Basil writes in, I don't know if you guys addressed it or not, but you didn't last
Probably
week.
Probably not.
Moss took two huge hits last game. Any word on how he is?
Well, he was out at practice, so I guess he's okay. And he wasn't hurt. He was shaken.
He could have come back in.
The trainers were not with him when he was on the sideline, when he left the game in the fourth quarter.
Right.
He took his gloves off. It was like a preseason game. Yeah. Well, my work here is done.
Right.
And that's it.
But I do think that is something to be concerned about all year.
But it has been.
I
don't know. Once you have a back injury and you play NFL football, it's an issue.
It's much like I feel about Welker.
I hold my breath. Homer's is going to. I mean, that's how bad back injuries are.
Oh, well, yeah, but he's.
I mean, once you have an injury, it's.
There's nothing you do that
doesn't involve the middle of your body.
I'm less concerned about Vollmer in the short term as I am. He's a second round pick, and is he going to play for 10 years? Mm-hmm. I don't know because
of that.
I think when you're young and you have a back injury, it doesn't get better as time goes on. But with Welker, I kind of wince every time he catches one of those across the middle. Like, is this the one where, you know, that knee gets twisted funny? And, you know, I don't think that offense is the same without Welker and Moss.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked a lot about Mike Reese's thing with the running game and the balance and all that. Well, the balance ain't been that good.
Another guy who had a noticeable injury in that Tampa Bay game was Ty Warren.
And but he says
he's
back
good.
Out.
Warren says he's fine.
And he was out there today.
Yeah.
As usual, Ty Warren not afraid to discuss his injury status.
Because he'll tell you he's not good to go.
Right.
Jarvis Green refused to talk today. He was walking through the locker room.
Well, he had surgery.
Right, but we're talking about guys being injured and, you know.
Fred came in. He was all prepared. He had printouts and
stuff.
What does
the surgery have to do with
show prep?
I don't know if you remember when Ellis Hobbs said, last week at this time I was on the surgery table. Some guys talk about surgeries.
Yeah.
Not Ty Warren.
They now are in Philadelphia and don't play. But
yeah, Ty Warren actually talked about his back in the offseason.
Yeah, he's
too.
Like knee, groin, my ear hurt one game.
Well, they originally made the incision here.
Yeah, Ty Warren and Moss were both out there today.
Tyrone Poole used to openly talk about his injuries as well.
Wow. Jerk.
Mm. I agree. Mm. Pool of discontent.
Douche.
Speaking of jerks, we talked about Bart Scott earlier.
Are we out of emails?
No, I get plenty of emails.
So why don't you read them?
People, that's been a groundswell of discontent with our listeners.
Groundswell?
The fact that they send emails and you just ignore them, don't read them. Well, first I have to get to Anthony on the phone. He's from Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Great.
All right. There we go.
Check in. I haven't talked to you guys in a minute.
Yeah. What you been up to?
Nothing. Curious. I'm wondering if there was a ton of emails wondering if Chambers was going to swing by Foxborough.
We've been getting a lot of SPFWs about
that. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of emails. Don't know. Think it would make sense.
I think it would make sense,
but
too.
Not as a waiver, as a free agent if he gets through waivers.
Yeah, he's got to clear waivers.
When are you going to find that out?
4 o'clock.
Oh, today. Cool. So nobody's picked him up yet, huh?
Well, I don't know.
We know a big number on the cap. Did they say 1.5 million?
I think it's 2.5.
Four? Two, yeah. Four, four, two.
They would have the room, I think.
It's pro. It's really? 4 million, but, you know, half a season.
Oh, it's 4 million, the total cap number?
Well, no.
That's
it's a $4 million contract.
It'd be about 2.5. 2.44, I think.
Can you do a quick check, Doc, on the see if anyone's picked them up?
Well, you won't know until 4.
I heard the remainder was 1.5 million. That's what I heard.
Oh, no.
Cap hit of 1.5 million.
What I saw was 2.4.
Or maybe the cap hit was for the Chargers, maybe. Maybe that's what they were talking about. I don't know.
That could be.
Doesn't matter. But, another thing, I guess I just want to say, after seeing, Patriots All Access, I finally made the final decision on Lawrence Maroney, and I'm off that wagon. Do not respect him. Feel like he has no balls.
Wow.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
What happened on All Access?
What did he do on All Access?
It's a number of things. Supposedly, I heard something else on the radio. I kind of believe it as well. That I think last year or something, the whole diapers thing, and I heard he was getting a little bit of harassment, and then he went to Bill, and Bill basically said, "Hey, get off of him, you know, don't pick on him too much," kind of doing what Eric is doing, you know, don't pick on me, you know, I can't handle it, I'm too sensitive, you know, and it's just it's not true, you know, not understanding that that's what guys do when they're friends, you know, they just rag on each other, that's a part of life, you know, but hey. He can't accept that.
Are you talking to Lawrence Maroney or are you talking to Eric?
Actually, I believe they should be best buddies. Maybe they won't
stand
each other.
Wow. Why don't you come up here and say that, Anthony?
Whoa!
No, Eric, I'm kidding.
I know. You're 6'2", 250 pounds. You're a tough guy.
No. I'm actually 5'6", but I'm 185 pounds. And I can bench 300.
Oh, you're
and
like Andy.
Throw you in a pool.
You're like Andy when he was in when he was playing second base, right?
It's true.
No, it's the truth. That's what I can do. But anyway, I know. But that's what you do. You rag on each other. But anyways, the Patriots All Access was in Tampa, and I guess it must have been after the touchdown he had. And then Tom Brady yells out to him, "That's Lawrence Maroney, the running back I know." And Lawrence is kind of like, "Eh, okay," you know, you could just tell he wasn't into it, as in it almost it hurt him, mentally. It was just no. He was being sensitive about it. And to me, I'm sorry, I need a tough running back. I need somebody who needs to go in there with a linebacker mentality and not give a damn.
Yeah, I mean,
that's why I'm off it.
His mental strength, fortitude, whatever, is an issue. He's a head case. We talked about it, good and bad. You know, sometimes when he has his best games, he says things afterwards about, I was thinking about the fans and the media as I was running towards the end zone. And that's not stuff I want to hear.
Even in the Tennessee game when he ran for that, when he broke on that 45-yard touchdown run, the shot that they showed on the sidelines was he put the jacket on and he turned to the crowd and was sort of yelling at the crowd.
He's
kind of, you can't let the fans get in your head.
So you got a guy with talent whose problem is upstairs.
Who is never going to live up to his talent.
Is there any way to rehabilitate that person?
You can't change his heart and his mind.
Not at this point, no.
Okay,
that doesn't mean he can't be successful at some level in the National Football League, but he's not going to be the workhorse that everybody wants him to be.
Well, I don't know if they're able to put Dr. Phil on the roster, pep him up.
Who would you have said had more problems upstairs, Ricky Williams or Lawrence Maroney?
Ricky Williams, clearly.
He's doing okay.
But they're different, and he's medicated.
Yeah, I don't think Ricky Williams' problems were heart-related.
Yeah, his were social anxiety disorder and...
He didn't want to play.
In the dubage.
But now we're talking mental illness versus
and by the way,
something different.
I also think you strip away the mental problems, that's a mismatch, talent-wise.
Yeah.
A total mismatch.
Of course.
Ricky Williams, yeah.
But
Ricky
I don't think...
Williams.
Anthony, do you think
Do you think Maroney is, like, mentally ill? I mean, Ricky Williams is legitimately mentally ill.
I just
meow.
Yes. Okay. I was going to say Pussy Willows.
I use heart. You guys are going the other way.
No, but that's my point. There's a difference. I don't think Maroney is nuts. I think
he's soft.
Yeah. But that doesn't make him a bad guy and mentally ill.
That's
different than a guy who's medicated and had a legitimate medical disorder.
To the contrary, I think Maroney's a terrific guy.
I do, too.
Not only I don't think he's a bad guy, I think he's a really, really good guy.
Which is why it's more disappointment than Venom.
Yeah.
Because you'd kind of like to see him do well, exactly. And you know he's never going to.
Yeah, I think it was just a different case in college with him. You know what I mean? There was less pressure. It's more of a college environment.
And it came easy. There was never a time where his mental capacities were challenged.
I also
really.
Think some of it is physical. I think there are things he did in college that he's not getting away with at the NFL level. And they really showed this a lot. I don't know if you watched the Tampa game at all. One of the shows that breaks it down with what is that stupid? I know it's not a really good show, but the one that's Merlis and Diossi, Tailgate.
The New England Tailgate.
Okay.
Right.
They were breaking down some of the runs, and they were showing how the blocking really unfolded perfectly, and the lanes were there, and he either jumped up the back of a blocker or did that little skip where when the hole opened, he was actually, and they broke it, they stopped it. He would be in the air doing that little hop. So he's like 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He's got the ball in his hands, but his first reaction is to take that stutter, that almost it's like an instinctual leap. And his both feet are off the ground. Here comes Stephen Neal with the wham block, and bang, there's the hole wide open. He can't get through it because his feet are off the ground, both of his feet.
I thought that was the game Bill said it was a lot.
It's a number of those things.
That would be the one.
Another thing I hate when I watch him now, it's just like, why doesn't he go down? Like, why doesn't he lean forward for those extra couple of yards? He runs too high. He doesn't bury his head and get those 2 to 3 yards, which really adds
on. He does run
to the average.
Because he's looking for the big play.
I've seen him at times move the pile this year.
I think he has.
He doesn't do it consistently.
I just think that's his style.
Well,
I think he's got the big style.
A lot of guys do it. Steven Jackson has the same style. But I think he's more powerful in his legs. But he runs high, too. You know, Eddie George used to run high.
There's no Peterson runs high.
There's no better example of
running
that.
High and putting and taking on the contact.
Eric Dickerson ran as high as any running back ever, and he was, a Hall of Famer.
You can do it, but, you got to do the other things right, too.
But what's the difference with those guys? They don't stutter step before they get that hole.
Yeah. Right. Better instincts. Instincts.
It's very annoying.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, guys.
All right, Anthony.
One question. I'm sorry. This is the last one.
When I was 14.
Grey Goose.
But anyways. But in the back of my head, I feel like we're good at the safety position. But, like, you know how we're all excited about what McGowan's been doing. And, like, how you guys pointed out last week, he's basically, what's his name? Tank Williams. Yeah, which was a great point. Good call on you guys. My question is, do you think they might go after Taylor Mays? Do you think that's a possibility for how deep we are at safety right now?
Well,
does he do a lot? I know it's early to talk about draft, but I'm just curious. Whenever I watch USC,
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Not even in the draft.
He's going to be
process.
A top safety. He's big,
as
strong,
we say every
fast.
Year. We haven't started our draft review yet,
and I don't
Sorry,
think he's.
Guys,
the,
it's been in the back of my head.
I don't think he's the kind of safety that's going to be a top 10 kind of guy.
No, so, but I think he'll be a first round pick.
Yeah, but so he would probably be in line for the Patriots if they wanted him.
But this will be a great year for the draft because of where the Patriots sit. Yeah.
Well, I think it's going to be a great year for the draft because I think everybody and their brother is going to come out because of the.
Because of what
the
happened
rookie,
to
the rookie scale is going to come in 11.
Where do the Patriots? Yeah.
All right,
Patriots
guys,
would be somewhere from 20
to 32.
Take it easy.
All right. Anthony, good point by Paul.
I think a lot of people. Yeah. I think there's going to be a larger percentage of underclassmen because of the rookie cap. That's
want to get
probably,
ahead of the rookie cap.
Probably going to come in.
But I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I think it makes more players.
But I think there's going to be a lot of guys that shouldn't be coming out. That
Who cares about their future?
If you miss.
We're talking about our show on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh.
Well, I don't know about that.
Actually, it's Thursday,
I don't
Friday.
Know what I was talking
actually,
about.
It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Now, yeah.
I just meant I'll trust Bill to pick the right guy.
Sure.
But if he picks the wrong guy, I mean, it's not a good year to have a first round pick.
Done that before.
I'm just saying there's going to be more talented players available.
Probably, yeah. I think there's going to be more risks available, too, though.
Well, of course. Yeah.
Just saying.
But just younger, less experience under their belt. You know, but so what?
Well, so if Bill takes one of those, I don't think it'll be a great draft.
But I do think that Taylor Mays would be one of those bottom end of the first round guys, and the Patriots probably are going to be picking down there.
Let's hope he's not another Darnell Bing, though.
Ding, ding.
USC safety who was highly touted
but he's more. He's a lot better than Darnell Bing.
He's more universally
touted. Unbelievable pick by Reggie Grimes last night, by the way. That's as high off the ground as I can remember a guy being. What a great play. Anyway, 2 minutes left. Freddie, get something?
Yeah, John says the Pats defense was tested against the Broncos, but I can't think of another team this year that really tested them. I think the two games against the Bucs and Titans have inflated the stats, and the real barometer to date has to be the Broncos game. If you consider that they held the Broncos to only 20, I think that is pretty good, and our offense should be able to put up 21 points at least every game. So.
Yeah, I think that the Broncos were a good test. I think Atlanta was a good test. I think Baltimore was a good test. And that's probably it. The other teams, I think, were offensively challenged. Tampa Bay,
The
Tennessee,
Jets.
The Jets, Buffalo. I think those teams aren't really offensive juggernauts. Okay. But I think it was impressive what they did for especially Atlanta. I thought Atlanta, the way they shut it down in the second half, I thought they were a different unit.
Especially Gonzalez.
The unit grinded to a halt in the second half, Andy.
Oh, you don't want your unit to grind to a halt.
Exactly.
You want to finish strong.
Right. You just want to grind.
You want to explode at the end. Good, Freddie.
I got Andy back involved there.
I kind of lost interest.
I got you back.
Our porns, portion of the show leads into John Rook being here. John, how you doing?
Porn portion of the show leads into John Rook.
You're going to have to be more specific.
I like that.
Generally,
I like that. That's good.
So, John, what did you do on your bye week?
My bye week. Let's see. What did we do on bye week? Well, I had college football to do, and then I basically was at a fundraiser all day on Sunday that I specifically, and Jason's mad at me for this because, you know, he wanted me to do the Revs on Sunday, but I couldn't because I had to plan a fundraiser around the Patriots off week.
Wow.
So that's what I was doing. I was trying to raise money for sick kids.
Well, there you go. I think that's a good cause.
That's okay. Thank you. You know. Appreciate that. Thank you, Fred.
Yeah. Do you have any catchphrases when you do the Revs?
Do you have any catchphrases?
You know, and that's another Revs.
Missed opportunity.
Scratch my back with an axe.
It was never 24-6 in that game.
Scratch my back. You see, that they stole that from Mike Lang. Mike Lang's the Pittsburgh Penguins.
But the Revs, with a big win over Chicago, 2-1. Chicago now.
On fire.
The soccer team that just won't die.
A tie or a win, obviously.
That's a good way to put it. The soccer team
that just won't die.
Yeah.
The cockroaches of the NFL?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much.
Yeah, the way that it works out in MLS now is that as long as they tie the game, they win.
Right.
What a league.
Huh? As long as they tie, you win.
Play for the tie, boys.
Yep. And then they host Real Salt Lake in the Eastern Conference Finals, which I want to know why.
Why exactly?
Well,
Real.
I don't know Somebody why. See, this is what MLS, you know, they could really bring in more mainstream American fans if they would just act American, but they just don't. What they did was, this year for the first time.
Just act American.
It's true.
That was one of the funniest things he's ever said.
Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. They took the top eight records in the league, and it just so happens that five of the best records ended up in the Western Conference and only three in the East. So technically, the fifth team in the West was seated as the number four team in the East. That's what they did, just to balance it out.
Yeah, so why do conferences?
Exactly.
If you're going to do that way, just make one big thing and have everyone pay equally. You know?
Fred, you're preaching to the choir here,
brother. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should just. That's
we've reached that portion.
Right.
Anyway, this could be the year for the Revs.
Right.
Haven't we said that like 5 years in a row?
And they're doing it without their two best players.
Taylor Twellman's not playing?
He's been out with the... It hurt my head all year long.
Oh, wow. But I did hear that he picked up the tab.
Where was his venom when it comes to everybody else?
I don't know. I've never heard you criticize the Patriots this much. You've been talking about them 4 hours a week for 10 years.
You want me to talk about the Revs now?
He was in Subway.
You're more entertaining. Let's go.
Saw that.
Yeah. Who's the other?
Steve Ralston. But he tore an ACL, so he's a lot of mess.
He's okay.
Yeah.
So Twellman has a concussion?
Yeah. He's had a concussion all year. I don't understand how concussions last a whole year.
Well, haven't you heard of...
How did he get it? From the ball or from a...
Not exactly a politically correct stance there, John.
Not in this day and age.
I'm asking a legitimate medical question. How does it last all year?
How do you know? I'm not a doctor.
But how did he get it? Contact with what?
I don't know.
Now you're questioning whether he even has
it. He got contact with an opposing goalkeeper.
Is that what it was?
Head, knee,
did they bang heads?
Post.
And the goalkeeper was what, a 500-pound Brahma bull?
Wow.
Wow.
Time to go, Frank.
So, John.
Well, I hear all the internet's turning off now. The streams are over.
Thank you. We'll be all here right. for more Revs talk.
RFW.
What do you got coming up?
Basically, off-week conversation, Fred.
Yes.
No, actually, no. You know, we're going to take some stock in what we're doing midway point of the season. So I'm going to ask fans to give me one player thumbs up, one player thumbs down on the Patriots roster. How's okay. that sound?
Brandon right. McGowan, Adalys Thomas.
Okay.
Okay, right, I like that. That
works for me.
That was up for down. Example. Boney Maroney. That could also be.
Well, see, he's up and down. Who knows when? Fred's got him up. I got him down.
All right. You could be on both sides.
All right.
There you go. All right, John. Well, have a good show. John will be with you until 4 o'clock. And as for us, we'll see you tomorrow.